ثلاثة رمية العزاري بنتي وانا اجيب الشيء اللي عندي انا اروح بتاعك اللي الشيء اللي انا هتفتح Fascist Geschichte beginnt mit dem Sinn auf Stolle, im Frühling des Dienens auf Machtes Ashekel. Die Gemara zum Verhulle Korban ist die Behörde, die Purchase von der Machtes Ashekel. A private person donates all of the money to buy the Korban ist die Behörde, so die Gemara had a Machleke, you can't call it Machleke, Machleke between the Tuk and the Tushin. Between the Reform and the Orthodox, whether the Korban ist die Kosh, or the Kosh, or the Kosh, or the Kosh, if one person pays for all the money. The thing is that you have to have everybody collect. Everybody has to give matzah shekel. Of course, the Mishnah says you can have shekel or shikla. One person can give matzah shekel on behalf of someone else, if the other one agrees. But let's say one person will donate $1 million to the Beis HaMikdash to take care of all of the Karbonos Tzibur, so the Gemara learns that from a prophet, that that would be possible for the other. The Mishnah Berurah quotes its Tzlach and Brachos, who has a discussion where the women are obligated to daven musaf. The Mishnah says that women are obligated to daven. The Gemara says the reason why is because Tfilah is Rachman. So the question is, what about Musaf? The Rishonim assume that Musaf is not Rachman in it. The Gemara says the whole reason why you have Tashlumin. If somebody forgot to daven Mincha, so he daven Ma'ariv twice, he forgot to daven Shachris, he daven Mincha twice, because Tfilah is Rachman in it. And Musaf, the Rishonim say, is not Rachman. Musaf is just Nishalma forms for saying it's Kenegar HaKorbonah, so there's no din of Tashlumin. But maybe since the Gemara says the reason why women are obligated to daven in general is because people are Achmanim, so maybe they're not obligated to daven. That's one reason that we should go across to the name of the Tzlach. Then, there's another famous reason, if I'm not mistaken, I think the Tzlach of course, is here, the name of the Psalm Rosh. Psalm Rosh is supposed to be a collection of tshuvos written by the Rosh. It's published by somebody in the 1700s, and you had Haskonis from the Nebi Yehuda, another great rabbanim, and then it's generally assumed to be a forgery. The one who printed it, his father was a big Talmid Chacham, and the father was highly respected by all the rabbanim, so they gave a Haskonis to the son on the assumption that he broke out of the wood, just like the father was an honest tzaddik. On top of it, they put the son on the altar, and generally assumed that the son was not cursed. He put in all kinds of apophysish and things into the tshuvas. He wrote footnotes on the bottom. Says that he wrote the footnote that's called Chassid Arsena. The text on top, they have it over here in the library.
Is it labeled
as
a forgery?
No. Surgeon General, can you label it? They have the first edition here. The first printing must be worth about it. But now it's generally assumed that it's a forgery. We may have some truths from the children, but many of them are assumed to be a forgery. He has there in the name of the Shuvah Sarosh all kinds of wild things. Among other things, he has that women are exempt from davening Musa because women didn't have to give to the Matzah Shekel. Only men have to give, women don't have to give. If they give, we'll accept it, but they're not obligated to give. Since the Karbonos people were purchased in the Matzah Shekel money, women didn't have to give. So obviously, the women were exempt from the mitzvah of Karbonos people. So the Shachris Mincha Ma'ariv, which is Rachmin, so that's an appeal to them. But Musaf, which is purely for the purpose of the Neshama Fon Shasen, women were part of the Matzah Shekel, so they're part of the Karbon Shekel. So I think the Karatmin is a bit from that. It comes out of Chiddush. Once you assume, like the Psalm Rosh, then one should possibly come up with a Chiddush, the Chumrah, that someone who's not 20 years old shouldn't be the Baal Tefillah for Musaf. Why? Because many Rishonim, some Rishonim hold the Machlokes regarding the Mishnah in Shkolim, that says that a Kotten is exempt from Matzah Shekel, within the Kotten is called Bar Mitzvah, means the Kotten is for the age of 20. The Chumash, it says, Kol Oivel Achkud Yitein, Kumas Hashem, that refers to counting. This Pshut Hashem Mikir here isn't speaking about the Matzah Shekel for the Karbon. The Chachamim Darshan, it says three times, Shulma, so one of them is referring to the Matzah Shekel for the Karbon speaker, but the Pshut Hashem Mikir is going on counting. He says, so it's less than it's all, who they have? And you want to count the Jewish people, so you have to only count those who are above the age of 20, because before the age of 20 you can't drift them into the army. So Rashi quotes, I think, from the Mechilta, before the age of 20. Nimdoch kam, shein pachas b'meres, yetzir latzobah, v'nimdim b'chal anashim. The whole purpose of making a census is not to know how many soldiers you're going to have. Before the age of 20, you're not allowed to drift some. That's what Rashi interprets the Pshat in the Pesuk. So that's the question, whether this shear of the age of 20 applies to the mitzvah matzah shekel adoras, I mean, it applies to this. If one should assume that it does apply to Torah, And if you put together two and two, you should get 22. Before the age of 20, your person shouldn't be a Baal Shiva. Mm-hmm. Our friends generally didn't accept this the son of Rosh. They hold that this one is wrong also, like many of the other original Kiddushim that say that. You know, a woman is exempt from the Machzis HaShekel. A woman is exempt, is potter from giving Machzis HaShekel, but still, nonetheless, the Kavanah Tigra are offered on behalf of all of Baal Yisrael. Are offered on behalf of the men, the women, and the children. Not just offered on behalf of the men who gave the Machzis HaShekel. If somebody is obligated to give Machzis HaShekel and he doesn't, and he didn't give, and he doesn't plan to give, then it would appear from the Gemara at the end of the Siddur. They're not mocking the Kavanah Tigra on his behalf. More quotes that Bryce said, that when they do the Trumas Alishko and they take out, everybody gives Machta Shekel, and they take out some of the money in three sacks. Mishnah says in Shkolim that three times a year, 2 weeks before Pesach, 2 weeks before Shavuot, and 2 weeks before Sukkot, they take out three big sacks of money. And that's called the Trumas Alishko. They take out like Machta Shumas, you have Shirai. They also take out the Trumas Alishko, that's what you're going to use for the purpose of purchasing the Kavanah Tigra. What's left over is called Shirai Alishko. And you use that for purchasing other inyonim in the Beis Hamikdash. And then from the three big sacks that you took, after you use up, after you've already bought all the kavanas that you need, and now it's 2 weeks before Shavuot, so 2 weeks before Sukkot, you have money left over from the sacks, that's called Moisa Trumas Alish. There's three different things. There's Trumas Alish, there's Machta Shekel, when everybody gives the money. And then they do the Trumas Alish, when they mach the Trumas, so what's left is called the Shiori Alish, like Shirai. When you do kmitzvahs, you have shirayim left. When you do hafroshes trumas, you have shirayim left. You have shirayim left. The mishnayis and shkolim and the left parak and sudas. The Gemara quotes a lot of these things. The Gemara talks about what do you use the shiori halishka for. And then after you've already purchased all the kavanah sigur, the leftover money from the sacks is called the moisa trumas halishka, and you use that for purchasing other things that have to do with Beis Hamikdash or Yerushalayim. So the Bryce it says in the left parak and sudas, that when they do the Trumas Alish, the Kavim Al-Ha'ovet, Barabogit, Al-Ha'osid, they have in mind, when the Kohen does the Trumas Alish, and he takes the money in the sack and he purchases the Kavanah Tigra, he has in mind, on behalf of all those who already gave Machzis HaShekel and the money got lost, Al-Ha'ovet, they send it in the mail, they sent it by the Shliach, and the Shliach lost it. Al-Ha'ovet, let's say someone sent money to the Beis Hamikdash, and the money is on the way. And the Shliach didn't bring it yet. So they have those people in mind also. So his money is on the way. So the Horas is Likos. And they have in mind, let's say, you're really supposed to give Matzah Shekel from a Shchodesh Ador before Shchodesh Nisan. What if he didn't give? So you have all year long. What if he didn't give all year long? You have maybe Yashem Shem. So you die. Are you almost at the Chakala? If you give the Matzah Shekel, they have boxes in Beis HaMikdash. It's called Tachon Chalit. And they have boxes that's called Tachon Antikon. Old Shkol and New Shkol. New Shkol is Benissi. That Tachon Chalit is new Shkol for this year. Tavshin and Ches from this year. From Rosh Chodesh Nisan till Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Tavshin and Ches. Then they have Tachon Atikim, old Shkol. Whoever didn't give Matzah Shekel from last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 85 years ago, guy becomes a Baal Shuv at the age of 119 and he realizes that he never gave Matzah Shekel, has to go to the Beis HaMikdash and pour in a lot of money into the Tachon Atikim. So
how many years that he gives that much?
Yeah, and every year the Machzis HaShekel is a different amount. It's not always Machzis HaShekel. Every year the Beis Hamikdash has to announce how much money we need for the Machzis HaShekel this year. You never get away with less than Machzis HaShekel.
How do they calculate?
You have to calculate how many months you're going to have in that year, 12 or 13. Because you're going to have 13 months, you're going to need more carbonus. And you have to calculate what is the population of Jewish people. The more people there are, so the less money you need. Then you have to calculate from that population how many people do you think are going to give. Not everybody gives. Then you have to calculate what's going to be the cost of Beis. What do you think the cost of Beis is going to be? So taking everything into consideration, Beis Nagol has to determine, has to declare every year how much everybody has to give. When it says, it means that no one can give more or less than the other person. But it doesn't mean that you don't give more than Machzis HaShekel. Most of the time they give more than Machzis HaShekel. You can never get away with less than Machzis HaShekel. Let's say everybody's giving. Yeah. Every year is a different amount. So this guy has to, the guy does tshuva at the age of 119, so before he dies, he has to give in a box of the Tachlan Atik, and he has to put in a Machzis HaShekel for every year that he missed. So he has to go look up in the New York Times from a Shchodesh Adar from every year. What does it say? How much was? Some of that have a chart in the Beis HaMikdash. How much was Shkolim? Snas, Tavshin Mem Tes, Tavshin Mem Zayin, Tavshin Mem Vav, Tavshin Mem Hey, every year. We go give all the Shkol and attack them and keep them back. So the Bright says,
yeah,
but interest.
If not, we're missing out. It's in favor of the purposely delayed giving.
That one's about time. So the Bryce, the lotion of the Bryce is the term Malo Osi Ligbar, that they have in mind those who are, who plan to give later in the year. So let's say somebody is obligated to give Matzah Shekel and he doesn't plan to give later in the year, and they don't have this in mind. Let him burn your head and not bring him the Kabbalah seat. Why should we have him in mind that he's not to the Kabbalah on behalf of that fellow who doesn't plan to give? But in summer, they do have in mind the women and the children who are exempt to give Matzah Shekel. They're not doing anything wrong by not giving, and some of they do have that in mind. Then I'll go with folks to mess. They say, oh, it's then I'll go with the safer I'm sure it's Rebbe Kivegas, the same author as the Migdash Dalit. So he talks about this, the summer rush, we discussed. Some of they did have in mind the women. Some of the Kabbalah people were offered on behalf of the women as well. He didn't say that the women are not bad in Kabbalah seed, but the past is that they are bad.
They don't have to give the shekel.
I mean, they're not chayvim matzah shekel, but they're chayvim karbonas tibun. They're chayvim karbonas tibun in a sense. You have to see to it that the karbonas, you have to see to it that the husbands give their matzah shekel.
I mean, four husbands would be tied up someplace and they would have to go and hire people to send
them
the
karbonas. Yeah. They'd have to give matzah shekel.
A single girl would have to rely on her father. She
doesn't have to rely. The women are not mechayiv to give the matzah shekel. But they're mechuyev to see that the Karbonas Tzibur are offered. They have to chase after the men. It is their mitzvah. The mitzvah of Karbonas Tzibur belongs to everybody, except the method of fulfilling the mitzvah of Karbonas Tzibur normally is by having the men give the Matzah Shekel to the Beis HaMikdash. So the women are not mechuyev to give it. The women are just as mechuyev in the Karbonas as the men are.
Against
the Shaila would have, yeah, that you can't have a woman davening for the Yom for Musaf. Some of that. Can't have a woman to be the Baalas Tefillah of a Muslim.
I thought you once said it's a fear that the father is davening for the Shekel.
Yes.
So this is against them. Maybe the father, doesn't
Mishnah Berurah
say the
father is from the Muslim? Yes. Mishnah Berurah quotes the Shlach, but the father from Muslim, because the only reason why they're obligated to daven in general is because Tefillah Rachman is. So Muslim has nothing to do with Rachman. That's the reason that it's not. But Shalom, Muslim has no Rachman. Rashi Feinstein writes in his Sefer, and Igros Moshe, the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah, that in every Tefillah you have to have three parts. You have to start off with Shevach, then you have to give Matzah, and then you have to conclude with Hagoya. So Moshe is also Tefillah on Sof with the Tefillah. You also have to start. So you start off with the Gimel Rishon is the Shevach, and the Gimel Achorin is the Moshe Malach and Roth has Hagoya at the end, then you have to have Bakosha in the middle. So where is the Bakosha? It says in Moshe, you also have Bakosha. Shabbos, we have a lot of Shevach in the middle, we have a lot of stories there, after Kibashto, Yisrach Moshe, all kinds of things there, after Echad, but you have to have Bakosha also. If you don't have Bakosha, so there's no Tfilos. Yeah, the Bakosha is the Bakosha for Ruch is Dikat Tzorot, not a Bakosha for Gashmi is Dikat Tzorot, but it's also a Bakosha. You have to have Bakosha. The one who dings it with the whole premise of the Tzlach, that he says that the Tfilos on the Sotan is not Rachmi, yeah, Rishon is there, that it's basic purpose of the Musaf is not Rachman, that's why there's no Tashlumin. But you have to have some Bakoshes Tzarochin, you have to have some Bakoshes Rachman. So you have it, so it could be that that's sufficient to be Mechai with. That's a Shaila. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Slav who says that the women are part of the Dachman. Shaila and the Sefer Revit Azov, he quotes from the Ramor and Shulchan Aruch, the quotes from the Rahagoy. If you have, let's say, a community and they hire a chazik to daven for an omer, so how do you tax the members of the community to pay the salary of the chazik? Do they pay l'fi nefoshet or do they pay l'fi momet? But some are much, much wealthier than others. So do you make everybody pay for the schar of the chazik in accordance to how wealthy they are? Or do you say no, that everybody pays equally? So Rabbi Gwen, Ramo quotes Rabbi Gwen that you pay machzor l'fi nefoshet, machzor l'fi momet. Half and half. If the chazan salary is $100,000 a year, the $50,000 has to be collected between mom and the $50,000 has to be collected between the first. How do you figure this out? It's based on the Gemara in the end of Bava Kama, that's taught in the first Mishpat. And if you have a group of people, it's all close to all things. Someone told me that they're selling it in the sunset. selling the whole, on the whole chumash, or just on the Bereish Shemos? The whole chumash, yeah.
Who was that?
The Rizir Hazal was a Dain and Dun in the days of the Vilna Gaon. The sefer that many later scholars quote from, sometimes Shem Amar and sometimes Shalei B'Shem Amar. Must be a good sefer that people, everybody likes to quote from. So the Gemara in the end of Bava Kama tells a story that there are a group of people traveling in the desert and they're lost and they're going to die. And they're going to die. And all their riches are home. All their valuables are in the bank, they're home. They only have their lives that you're So in order to creep out of this desert, they have to pay tayar, they have to pay an Arab or whatever, they have to pay somebody who knows the area to lead them through the desert to show them how to save their lives. So some are much wealthier than others, so how do they pay? They agreed to pay $100,000 to these guys to take them out of the desert, so now when they get back to civilization, how do they put together the money? They never agreed amongst themselves how they're going to put together the money. Do they pay with the moment, or do they pay with the nefesh? So the Gemara says that they pay with the nefesh because everyone's life is in danger. They're all going to drop dead in the desert. So all their lives are in danger. My life is equal to your life, even though you're much richer than I am. My life is just as valuable as yours. So therefore, everybody has to pay the Tina Pasha, everybody pays equal. So the Ravid Azar claims that that's based on this Pasha. He says if you read the Tshuva that I go into the Ram, what's based on? He says it's based on the Pasha. So it's Harasha Layab, Radav Yam, everybody pays the same. Why? Because it's Kaifa Nasha, the Chakra Nasha says, everybody's Nefesh is equal. So since the Karbonis Tzibur are purchased, are coming for the purpose of Nefashis, and all the Nefashis are Shavas, just because one person is richer than the other, doesn't make that his nefesh is worth more than the other. So this is the Seir Adina Vigimara in the end of Bava Kama, the very end of Bava Kama, I think, next to the last hour. A few daphnis, the very end, no one ever usually ever fits them. So the Honim started to start from the end of the Mishnah. So no one ever gets the English. So just because on the first page it has the first word in the box, has the first word in the box, they said, we're going to make a big box on Mishnah, make a big box on Hatonis, so whatever. The end of the Mishnah. So his yeshiva, they started from the end of it. So at the very end of Bava Kama, the Gemara has that. So the Rebbe Azar claims that it's based on this pasuk over here. What happens, however, if you have another situation? Let's say there's a fire in the neighborhood, and no one's life is in danger, but all the property is going to be burned down. All the homes are going to be destroyed by the fire. And then they have to pay some firefighters from another community to come and put out their fire. They have to pay a fortune of money. And since no lives were endangered, the only thing that was endangered was the mammon. So then it didn't say that you have to pay the mammon. But that's not to be compared to this pasuk in Chumash. That's what it says in Chosh Mishpat. And what happens if they're traveling in the desert and they have their money with them and so their lives are in danger and their money is in danger? So then you pay matzalat mammon, matzalat nefesh. You pay the guy to save you through to take you through the desert. So then you have to pay half the nefesh. So the Rav Haigoin says, it's called Aloha by the Ramon, Arachaim. But this didn't know Arachaim, I've seen in Gilma or something before Baruch Shama. Before Baruch, he has the dinam of appointing a Shliach Tzibur. So the Ramon quotes this in Rav Haigoin. That if you would only appoint a Baal Tfilah to Baal Farnomid, the Moitzi everybody, so since the Tfilahs are connected to Karbonis and the Karbonis are dinam of Shalayab, Vadal Yamid, for the purpose of the Chapa Nav Shasech, and everybody's nefesh is equal, whether you're rich or you're poor, so then everybody would just pay the chazan of Bina Fashim, not for a few moments. But since the chazan seems away, he doesn't just, the practice is, the chazan doesn't just do davening farnam. He gurgles away with nigunin, that's already luxury. So sometimes the chazan supervises the hashgacha in the kitchen, in the shul. Sometimes he performs marriages or whatever, other things the chazan does. He does other things in the shul, so that's already not l'chapra nafshaseichem, so that's the very epic luxuries. And when it comes to luxuries, so the wealthier the person is, and the more he's interested in luxuries, and the poorer the person is, so the less he's interested. So that's why we assume that the chazon and the zman hazeh should be paid salary by the community, machzal l'chimam and machzal l'chimafash. Because the function that he serves, the role that he's playing in the shul, is part and part. It's part for the purpose of the Chapra Nav Shasech, it's Dhamma Parnamas, we might see everybody in Pashali, it's other things that are really services of luxury.
Who was the rabbi?
Rabbi is a question. I don't know. I don't remember in Shulchan Aruch that it's there. You have to look there, Tom. Mishnah Berurah says over there, there's a beer halacha there. He says, if you have to appoint a chazan and they can be paid from Zezet and they can pay Koshkein, then you can be paid from Zezet to appoint a rabbi. Rabbi is more important. That's the beer halacha and the fine print. It makes a kavah chayman for that. So I don't think it says it to Teresh in the Shulchan Aruch, but you can be paid from Zezet to appoint a rabbi. What, the rabbi is a luxury? Yeah, it's done today. Years ago that the rabbi just passed in Shabbos, and they just gave Tachoch and Musa some stuff. Everybody needs it equally. But today, the rabbi depends. In some shuls, he's only a social director. He doesn't pass in any Shabbos, and doesn't give it any more. So he just gives flowers, speeches, he married the people, he buried the people, he mixes the people. All things that you don't really need a rabbi for. That's if the rabbi only does functions as a social director, so you only pay the fee money. You only pay the fee money, but it's luxury. It's a mitzvah to pay the fee money. If the rabbi only passed the shaitas, so then you only pay within the budget. Everybody needs a shaitas equal. If you have a rabbi who does a little of this, a little of that, so then it's done a dima kechazim. The rabbi has to say the same as a chazim. The rabbi is a chazim. So then you pay the mach for the fee money. I don't know, but if it's in the Shulchan Aruch, strange. I don't think it's in the Feirish. This the Mishnah Berurah, the Be'er Halacha says, Kalachayim, you have to appoint a rabbi, and the rabbi is cut into the chazan. Chazan can pull through without the Ligin, without the Hebrew. Someone can read from a Siddur and be right to everybody. But the rabbi, if they don't know the Din, how are they going to be able to keep them into the Satir? That's what it makes the Kalachayim.
When you go in the city, you bring in water, or you have little electric lines, and you buy these same rules. Everybody needs it equally, and everybody pays equally. If it's not a necessity, then they pay
according to
their income.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's very hard to figure out, but that's what the Kalal is based on. You can treat the community as a Schutzfitz. Even though the people are not interested in, they don't get along, they're not interested, but the Halacha says the Schutzfitz will treat the community as a Schutzfitz. And then the Schutzfitz have Shibudim to each other. So to what extent are they Meshubitz? Sometimes with the Imam and sometimes with the Nefash. So that's the Revid Azar, like the Kuf Samar Gimel, I think. Revid Azar talks it. Yeah, yeah. Rabbi Hirsch has a true about it. So it's printed in Moriah 2 years ago, based on the Chosh Mishpah. I have it in my essay about the women's minyonim. So it's all these things that the spirit of the community, Akidim, has a din of Shitzvitz, a din of Chosh Mishpah. We must have discussed a few weeks ago, didn't we, about the Mishnah says even though a person is not obligated to give Matan Shekel, but if he gives it, the Hegdish will accept it. So the place our question is bothered with a kasha. How can they accept it? The Hegdish of the person is not taught. It remains foolish. How can they accept it? Unless you say that it's a Muflah Samach Yish, it's the last year before Bar Mitzvah, and you hold that Muflah Samach Yish is a Din Min HaTorah. Machloekes Satanayim and Gemara Nida. Machloekes the Rambam and the Raavad, how to pass it. If Muflah Samach Yish is a Din D'Oraisa, so that we understand. If your Muflah is only a Din D'Rabban, then we start again with the Kasha. Unless you say that the Mishnah is talking about a Kotten who's left the Bar Mitzvah before 20. Okay, so then he's really he's a God, he's a Bardas for purposes of being Magdash. If you're all before the age of 20, not Mechuyah, then you have 7 years that there's no Kasha. From the age of 13 to the age of 20, he's not Mechuyah to give Mat Kasha. But if he gives, he's a Bardas. From the age of 13, he's a Bardas, he can be Magdash. Say like that is good, but the shahid is, but if you hold the normal way, that by mitzvah, you're free to do all the mitzvah at the age of 13, you're going to go and hold like that. At the age of 13, you're free to give matzah shekel. So then the shahid is, how can the Mishnah talk about accepting matzah shekel from the kotten? But I'll tell him. How can it be? Unless you say that it doesn't mean the kotten sheshokal, the kotten gave matzah shekel. He's the father. The Mishnah says shokal or shiklo. The Mishnah in the Gemara and Hanavei said somebody could give matzah shekel on behalf of someone else. So that's what it means. Father gives matzah shekel on behalf of his son. So if someone gives matzah shekel on behalf of a goy, you don't accept. Someone gives matzah shekel on behalf of a monkey, you don't accept. It's not kabbal. If someone gives matzah shekel on behalf of a kotten, you say that, yeah, because the kotten is Jewish. The only thing is that he's part of him giving, but if you give on his behalf, then it'll be good. In the Mishnah it says that it sounds like the kotten himself is giving, not that the father is giving on behalf of the kotten. That's the kashya. So the tzais and the nesivus and Reish Lan and Hay talk about this. Shlomo Hay has a din about the cotton who makes kinyonim. So when I tell you about Harishat the cotton, you cannot make any kinyonim. And with the Rabbanon, the Mishnah hasn't gotten. If they take an oil on, they made a takana that a cotton should be killed. Or in the taput, it's mikhamekah, and then carry them to the metalkulim. From the age of kibashis, kibasheva, from the age of 6 to 7, he understands what it means a little bit. Mekah mekah, so he's Kinyonim would be valid in the area of Metalkalim. In Karka, the Gemara says nothing. But in Metalkalim, there was a Takana de Rabbonim. So the Tzoyis claims that because there's a Takana de Rabbonim, that a Katan can be Machne, so you say Hefker Bezen Hefker, so the Kinyon that the Katan makes, that the Katan is Machne, the Machta Shekel to the Hedvish, the Kinyon is Kal on a level of their eyes. Hefke doesn't have to work on a level of their rights. The receivers disagrees with that. Thursday hold that Hefke doesn't have to work on a level of their rights only for the purpose of being mafkid to take away from a person. But to be mafkid lacherim, true, it does work, but that extent, to that extent, it's only the rabbanah. That's not an affair. That's machlekes harishanim. The Thursday and the receivers have a machlekes harishanim to pass from like this. Yes, it quotes, the Beis Yosef quotes, Abin Yeruchim, I think, one of the Rishanim says, what if a man is Mekadosh and Isha with a ring? Abraham Mekadosh is Kibbutz Ha'Bazu. But he left the ring at home. Chochman forgot to bring his ring for the wedding. Left his ring at home. So he's mocked for the ring. Let's say he gave the ring to the best man. And the best man forgot to bring the ring for the wedding. But they're all standing there under the chuppah. The chosin, the kala, the best man. So the chosin says, Abraham Mekadosh is Kibbutz Ha'Bazu that the best man has at home. But my Mishloshtam. But the Gemara says, he's eaten. That he's given that he can be mocked in the kala. My Mishloshtam. Why not? I gave the ring as a bikkurim to my friend, and he forgot to bring it. But the friend is here, the chassan is here, the kala is here. So that's the kinyan. Mayim shloshtam. So mayim shloshtam works with the rabbanon. So I'm the kaddish the isha with keser, with shava keser, with the ring. Shava keser is my ring. Shava keser, shava pruta. But how do I give the ring to her instead of giving it to her in her hand? I'm not giving the ring to her. I say mayim shloshtam. So the Beis Yosef quotes Rabbeinu Yeruchim. He says that she's only married with the rabbanon. Because my mishloshtim is only the rabban. So if she'll be mezaneh, she won't get nisa later on. She'll only be an eishes ish from the rabban. And the Beis Yosef says, yes, on the rabban Yochanan, that it doesn't make any sense. Since it's a din of hefker bezen hefker, so she should become an eishes ish on a level of the right. So the Tzoyis says, Abba, the Beis Yosef is right. Hefker bezen hefker is a din of the right. So the Gemara keeps knowing that from Sukkim. So it's certainly a din of the right. So the Nesivah says, no, the rabban Yochanan was right. It's a big machlokes, many, you show them, my friend, everybody's involved. Just look a little bit, so you find every region takes a stand on this issue. See, this whole, the Hefke Bez and Hefke works on the level of their eyes, yes, but only to the extent of being Machke my moment. And not to be Machke Lacherim, that only works with the Rabbanim. So the Rabbeinu Yeruchim is really right. That if the Chosin is Machke the Ring to the Kalai, they might have lost an emotional deal as an Eshes Yish the Rabbanim. Don't become an Eshes Yish the Rabbanim. So the Tzoyis claims that the Beis Yosef is right, and he says, "V'haray even the Mishnah Shkolim that the Katan who gives the Machta Shekel is not looking for you, but he gives the Hekdish Chal." How do you know that? Why is the Hekdish Chal? The Hekdish is not Chal, they're not allowed to purchase Karbon Siva with it. It's a Chulin Dikin money. So obviously the Hekdish is Chal. Why? So it must be because of Hefke Bez and Hefke. That's what he says. And then the Sivas says that that's wrong, that Hefke Bez and Hefke doesn't work. What do we do with the Mishnah Shkolim? He gives a different territory. He says that where do you put the Machta Shekel? You put it in the box. That's in the Beis Hamikdash. So the Hekdash is cutting with the Kinyan Chosin. The Kotun gives, and that's a Machlokes, right? That's Machlokes, Tashis and the Ramban, and Boba Basa, but the Hekdash is cutting with the Kinyan Chosin. He says, I write for the mission that it is, to the Ramban. The Hekdash is cutting with the Kinyan Chosin. Tashis and Boba Basa says the Hekdash can't be cutting with the Kinyan Chosin. Ramban says, yeah. So the whole thing is so strange, though. Both the Tzoyis and the Sivas are very strange. If Hekdash is kind of the money of the Kotun Oidei, Hefka says in Hefker, the Kotun Oidei Kinyan Chotzi, it becomes Momen Hekdash, but it's not Kodesh Bekdushas Machza Shekel. It's a Stum Kasha. How can you buy Korban Sivas with such money? Someone donated money to Hekdash? Or let's say the bird that lay the golden egg and it's a fly over the Beis Hamikdash, and the golden egg falls into the Machta Shekel bar. So the lot of use that golden egg for the purchase of Kabbalah, they're kind of with the King of Chotzer. So what? It's miscellaneous money. You're only allowed to use for the purpose of purchasing Kabbalah, same with Machta Shekel being money, from my money. There was Hukdash Lashem Machta Shekel, but if Hegdash acquires ownership of the money, like they King of Chotzer, it's miscellaneous kirsch, or the kind of they Hefker Bez and Hefker.
Yeah.
Well, have the place in the city that both have Pella. The Pashto city, you have to say one of the previous children, that the Kotan to look like some of the years. You have to say before the age of 20. You have to buy mitzvah. Say the father gave on his behalf. But to say the answers that the place in the city gave are very, very strong. Anyway, the big issue in Kosher Mishpah, Reish Lama Hei, the place in the city. Then the Torah has the din of kiyor. You have to have a kohen has to have kiddush adayim raglan before he does avoda. He doesn't have to carry kiddush adayim raglan for each and every avoda. Let's say he does 20 avodas during the day. He doesn't have to do kiddush adayim raglan each time. Once he does by yom, it's good enough. He's more in the second pair. If he does avoda without kiddush adayim raglan, it's possible. The avoda is possible. It's a mission in the beginning of the second pair in Zvachim. Kol HaZvachim that the avoda was done by Anoin and Azar and Chesukipur and Tzulyor and Matamei Shlomo Chesiyan Aglaim and they said that the whole list of 25 people who passed the avoda Yoshev Asmael left wing on the dock as long as he did the avoda with your king as possible to the Yevon all these things passed to the Yevon more along that from Sukkim that if he did the avoda Yoshev Aglaim and Oyam Musu that you have to do the avoda to have to do the Kiddush Dan Aglaim. The Gemara says also the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim has to be done by Midah. Yeah, I would say it has to be done by Midah for a simple reason. Because then Yeshiva Bazar or Malchi Beidol Bovah, of course you have to do by Midah. The Gemara says a different reason. The Gemara says not only will he, that may be that son of Eir the Rabban, that's a shot. That halacha, any Yeshiva Bazar or Malchi Beidol Bovah, is this Yeshiva Bazar and Isa Deraisa, but then how do you know that there's an exemption from Malchi Beidol Bovah? So there's this theory in two Rashis, the Bistura Malchumishmo. One Rashi says that it's halacha Moshe Messina. I could think there was a halacha Moshe Sina that included David HaMelech's name in it. But the Bishkur Rav HaChumash explained, no, the halacha Moshe Sina was formulated, Eini Shev Bazara El El Malchus HaNecheres Bovar. And Malchus HaNecheres was determined later who it's going to be. So first they thought Shmuel HaMelech thought it's going to turn out to be Shaul HaMelech. And he lost his chance because he didn't kill out HaMelech. It's his sword. And then when David was... the more comments on the pasuk that describes him, one might talk about the verse. Both the pasuk that describes David HaMelech, Odeno Ha'itzani, I think, as a pasuk, with him, Diga Yom. Adin Ho'etzni. So the Gemara says he was, when he came to learning, he was very adin. He was coming to the Rebbe. He was very sweet and very pleasant. When he came to fighting battles, he was Toshu Kates. He was a tough guy. He didn't carry over his softness from the Beis HaMedrash till leaving for fighting battles the way Shaul did. Shaul was soft in fighting the battles. And he didn't carry back his toughness from battle to the Beis HaMedrash. When he came back to the Beis HaMedrash, he learned the Nahas. He didn't develop a fresh, rough, murderous attitude from serving in the army. It's a difficult balance. Be very soft and sensitive in life in general, and then to be rough and tough and murderous when fighting back, very difficult. So David HaMelech had that ability to do that. So that's why he was there, to be the Malchus HaNecheres. So that's one Rashi. The Rashi says that it's halacha Moshe Messina, that kach nemar halacha, that ein yishiv bazar elo the Malchus HaNecheres, and then it turned out that David was the Malchus HaNecheres. Not that the halacha Moshe Messina said chutz mi David of Zara. How could it be that they had a tradition before David HaMelech was born? And the other Rashi says, no, the whole din of Ein Yishuv Barzah is only the Rabbanon. So, and the Tzad, let's say that it's only the Rabbanon, so the Gemara wants to make it that this is a din deraisa, that the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim has to be done by Midah. Even if you hold that Ein Yishuv Barzah is an Issa deraisa, but it doesn't pass over yet, the Gemara says over here, if you do the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim by the Yeshiva, it's no good. The Gemara says it passes over yet. The Kiddush Adayim Raglayim has a status like Avodah, just like Avodah has to be done by Midah, because it says, Lamad Lusharis, and if you do the Avodah B'Yeshiva, it passes, that's the mission at the beginning of the second parak in Zerachim. If you do the Avodah Yoshev, or the small, except for Yoshev, is one of the Tzulim of the Yevah, because it says, Lamad Kibbar B'Bachar Hashem, Lamad Lusharis, the Levach B'Shma, Datke Lamad Lusharis, the Bechir was only Bamida, so to over here, the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim has to be done Datke Bamida, not B'Yeshiva. If you do the Yeshiva, Kili didn't do the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, it passes B'Yevah. There's one like that, that it's Hukashta Avodah. That Kiddush Adayim Raglayim is Hukar Shto Avodah. Just like Avodah has to be done Dafka Bamidah, so too Kiddush Adayim Raglayim has to be done Bamidah. So the beginning of the second parak in Zerachim raises a problem. How do you do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim? So if you do Netilas Adayim like we do, so it's not so bad. Wash one hand, wash the other hand. How do you do the feet?
Have to be standing on the ground with both feet.
No, stand with one foot. How can you stand with one foot? Aren't you going to have to lean on something? In order not to fall down. So it depends, you're just washing one foot, and this gefellow, so you can stand with one foot and pull one foot. But if all you have to put at this the hands on top of the feet and wash everything all together, that's quite a stunt. So the Gemara has a machlokes HaTanaim, exactly how did the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash have to do the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. The Gemara says, what does it depend on? This machlokes is how you sort of the Kiddush HaRaglayim. It depends whether smichas ki yeshiva or smichas ka amida. It then requires zavke amida. And if you do it be yeshiva, number one, you violate the Easter, either the rice of the rabban, the ben yeshiva, bazar, you're not allowed to sit down. And number two, it will be possible. The Kiddush HaRaglayim will be possible because it has to be done zavke ba amida, not the yeshiva. So the Gemara has a machlokes atan, whether smichas ki yeshiva or smichas ka amida. But that will determine how the Kiddush HaRaglayim should be done. The Gemara then often learns out from Pesukim that it's not Ma'akev that it should be dafke done with the Kiyo. Even though the Pesuk says, Yosis the Kiyo, the Rochtzo, the Rochtzo, the Mena, Arne, Vana, Mena, Mena, Sedeh, Mena, Saglayim. So the Gemara says, Lav dafke the Kiyo. You can have any klisharis. You can use any klisharis you want. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Vias Migdash, when he quotes this in, he says that Lechat Chila you should use the Kiyo. But yeah, but if you use any other klisharis, it'll also be good. But there is a mitzvah of a chil. If you read the Chumash, the Pshut HaShomikos sounds like you have to use the kiyah. The Ramban HaChumash says that the Rambam is wrong. Because the Mishnah says in Yumah that the Kangal Yom Kippur didn't wash from the kiyah. So they used to fill up a golden container of water, and then they used to pour it on the klisharis of water, and then they poured it on the Kangal Yom. So if the Rambam is right that it's a mitzvah of a chil, the mitzvah of the Shleimus is to do kiyah to Maglan, dafuk in the kiyah. Why on Yom Kippur on a holy special day in which you do all the avodah in the fanciest fashion possible, that can Yom Kippur they did it in a b'di'evit fashion, why shouldn't they do it in an oifen of l'chad chila?
What does kana mean?
The kana is the floor, no? The basis on the bottom. The whole kiyah.
Why should that be specified? Because everything that you build has a base. Why should it say you see the door, the kana?
That's the tzura that the kiyah has to have a kan. Could it make
a
kiyah?
Without a kan. Whatever the bottom is, that'll be the kan.
I guess I had a special way. I would have had a look at it. That's done according to the artist's imagination. The Rasalveshik once said he doesn't think that the Ramban's kasha is right. That if you look in the Rambam and look at B.S. Mikdash, he doesn't say what the Ramban was kasha in the same. He doesn't say that when Abkhila, you have to do the Kiddush HaRaglayim using the kiyah. He says they have to, Abkhila, have to use meha kiyah. Lion is kacha with the and the yevid, if the maimon is kacha in any klisharis, it'll be good. In the Mishnah Yuma, it says they used a different kli to pour it on the kangaroo's hands, but they took the water from the kiyah. They took the water from the kiyah in a golden container, and they poured it on the kangaroo's hands. So the Rambam would agree that that's what had kiyah. Because the water wasn't kaddish initially in the kiyah. But if the water had been kaddish in a different klisharis and then pour it on the kangaroo's hands, that's what the Rambam says, that would only be to the yevid. What is the relevance of this parsha b'zman hazeh? We don't have any base on Midrash. So the Rebbe Hazor quotes the truth of Rashba, that's quoted in Aruch Haim. Quoted in the beginning of Aruch Haim, that before you daven Shachris, Mincha Amar, you're supposed to wash the Tzivos Yadayim. The more talks about washing your hands. The more talks about washing your hands in the morning when you wake up, you're saying the Tzivos Yadayim. So in Aruch Haim, they give three different reasons why one washes his hands. So the Rashba says, the Rambam writes in, the Rambam sheet is that you wash with the Broch, on the Tzivos Yadayim, before Shachris, before Mincha, before Myra. Rama says that's why you wash in the morning. That's why you say Anatilas Adayim in the morning. And even those Rishonim would disagree with the Rama, and they hold that you don't say Broch Anatilas Adayim before when you wash before Mincha and Ma'ariv. The general practice, we don't say Broch Anatilas Adayim when we wash before Mincha and Ma'ariv. But still they agree, that's the din in the Gemara, that you're supposed to wash Anatilas Adayim, not Raglayim, but Anatilas Adayim, you have to wash before Davin, Mincha and Ma'ariv.
Because our
tefillos
can come
from the barn. Right, that's what the Rashba writes. Because the Rashba and the Tshuva, right, because our tefillos are connected to our kavanah.
Mishnah Berurah says that if you wash your hands the barn, then it's
not
the
dawn
you have to wash your hands again.
Mm-hmm.
What is
the meaning
of
it? Well,
you're
supposed to wash your hands right before
you die. Because even if you had it in the mind, you knew that after you wash, you're going to die. Mm-hmm. Why do you need to wash again? Has to do with kavanah or something?
No, I don't think so. You shouldn't have a hesedadav. No, you should wash your hands right before you do the avodah.
It's learning in between is called a hesedadav.
Probably.
So should a person, how much person go out of his way to wash his hands?
Should miss?
Should
miss? Should not miss? No, says the Gemara, shouldn't miss his man of davening. Be careful not to miss the man of davening. Wash your hand before.
But if you didn't, then you should pass it up in order to start your answer with the keyboard.
I imagine so. guess so.
Well, over here, with government, we have to government is everybody, you should wash your hands. You shouldn't wash your hands.
You really should, yeah. You really should. So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote that this, they discuss that, why people are mezuzah in this thing. But in principle, it's not really right. You like that, it's not really right. We should really all wash our hands before we daven. We should really finish here a few minutes earlier, and then wash our hands. How far is called the Yad? The Kohanim also wash their hands before they daven. Parallel to this, then, how far is the Yad that they have to wash their hands? The Kiddush Lahamak line. So we had the Tosis in Hamoitu Bimar Peko, Hakosu Bimar Peko, Hamoitu Bimar Peko. So the Tosis points out that there are three opinions how far the Yad is. The one opinion is till here, till the knuckles. The other opinion is till the wrist. And the third opinion is till the elbow. Three different sheets. So we take the centrist position. We wash, I'm going to get the wash till the wrist, but it's not right to shoot. A lot of times the Kohanim don't wash until even on Yom Kippur. It's said, even on Yom Kippur, when you wake up in the morning, so there's a machlokes, it's all year long how much you have to wash, whether till to take off the Ruach Ro, whether you just wash till here, wash till here. But that's only about Ruach Ro. So there we pass the Mikra Adin till the knuckle. But with respect to Duchen and Mikra Adin, we really hope that they should wash their hands till the wrist. The Mekel, that you don't have to wash till the elbow, but they should really wash till the wrist.
Even on Yom Kippur.
And even on Yom Kippur, says the Pharisee, they should wash all the way till the wrist.
Even all year, we're washing. Not just through a floor, because the Rashi, when the Rambam watched the davening, were acting above the Shem of the whole day.
Yeah.
So Yom Kippur should wash more than your grown apples because of other reasons.
It's not.
Then we make them. Then we just do the minimum because of a floor.
Right. But the davening, it says they should wash all the way to the wrist.
The person who's sick and has to eat bread. So, like davening, and Yom Kippur.
No. You just do, follow the Ikar Adin and just till the knuckles.
Do you mean the chassidus for these people who sometimes want to go away to the elbow?
I've never seen it. I don't know. I'm not a kohen. I'm not a levi. So I'm rarely there when they wash. I never saw. Does anybody wash all the way to the elbow?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
All the way.
Yeah.
That's because the three sheets of chassidus never firmly said which one to follow.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Means chassidus, means shtus.
One of the beginning places. I don't know. It's one of the beginning places. Shouts, how far is the rego? How far do they have to wash? Well, for Duchening, they don't wash their feet. But the Shadows in Beis HaMikdash. Rafasi, Dehem V'Raglehem, what does Raglehem mean? So we don't have any Beis HaMikdash, so we don't have Halakha L'Maisi D'Shadah, but we have it by Chalitza. The Chalitza Shul has to be Chalitza's Roiv HaRegel. Kol Panala Me'al Ragloi. Chalitza Shul has to be Chalitza Roiv Ragloi, B'di'evit it's good Roiv. Should be called whenever you have a din of whenever you have a mitzvah and you say Ruba Kekula, I say the Ruba Kekula is only B'di'evit. L'chatzilu should have kol. So the Chalitza Shul should really cover up kol regal. So what's called a regal? What's called a regal? So the Chalitza Shul does not go to the knee. So we know for sure that the knee is not part of the regal, but shadow is the ankle. Is the ankle considered the top of the regal, or does the regal, the Chalitza Shul does go past the ankle? Not like a regular shoe, but below the ankle. Does that taka mikra adin? Does the chalitza shoe have to go up so high? Oh, no, we're just afraid. We have one chalitza shoe that everybody, that fits everybody, one size for everybody. So we're afraid in case we have a giant, we want the we want the chalitza shoe to cover up his regal. But really, by normal people, maybe the regal ends lower. Maybe the regal is only the foot that goes sideways, and whatever goes up is already not called a regal. It's called something else. Show Me'al Ragla. If one talks about a regal, Choltanala Me'al Ragla. There's a regal, and there's Me'al Ragla, and there's Me'al de Me'al. Twice removed, twice above. And there's a whole study. So the Chassam Sofer has a truth about this, Lahalocha, about what's called a regal. What's called Choyfer is Reva Regal. The Chachiyat have Kola Regal, but the Evid Reva Regal would be good. What's called a regal? Only the flat part, or up until the, or up until the ankle? I don't remember the Gemara. It must be the famous Gemara about this. I don't remember. I looked in the Rambam this morning and said, I couldn't hold the B.S. Mikdash. He doesn't give you the... I couldn't find in the Rambam the details. I have to look back in the Gemara. How far? Someone said the Septa, something. How far is called the Regal? Rambam doesn't call it how far is called the Yad either. The three Shikas that Texas has, how to learn the Gemara, there's more Erechin about this. How far the Yad goes, whether it's here or here or here, for the purpose of Kiddush Dan Aglam, how to read the Gemara. So the Rambam doesn't quote anything about that. Stoma, I don't remember. Stoma that Gemara in Erechin also talks about how far the regal is. the Mishnah in Erchan about people who donate money to the Beis HaMikdash. Guy donates his weight in gold. So he's a heavy guy. He has to give 350 pounds of gold. If he's a skinny Malik, he gives 90 pounds of gold, his weight in gold. What if he says he donates the weight of his arm in gold? So you have that. You have two issues. The Gemara, the Mishnah, the Gemara discuss. How far down does the arm go in Lashon and the Adam? Lashon and the Adam is not necessarily identical with the Dini HaTorah. When he says, I want to donate the weight of my arm or the weight of my leg in gold, does the arm go to here? That's beyond this. Here, what's called the arm? What's called the arm? A hand. You want to donate his hand in gold, the weight of his hand in gold. So how far is the hand? And after you determine how far the hand is, then the question is, how do you figure out the weight? You chop off his hand, you put it on the scale, or you put his hand on the scale, you push down, The Mishnah gives you a whole cheshbon, how do you calculate it? So the Mishnah says, you cut off the donkey's arm, because the density of the donkey's arm of a hamor is pretty similar to human arm. A whole cheshbon in the Gemara. So on the one aspect of that Mishnah, how far is called the hand, and how far is called the foot, if he donates the Lashon Yadam. If he donates the weight of his hand in gold, or the weight of his leg in gold, so there the Gemara says, how does that compare to tefillin? How does that compare to yotcha? How does it compare to the kiddush dam at life? That's where the whole Tosfos gets the whole discussion from. Then the Torah has a din of shemen hamishka for the purpose of being mekadesh the mishkan and the kohanim gedolim and so on. Gemara says, we mentioned yesterday, Gemara says that Yoshio HaMelech is doing all of these things, the Oran, with the Lukas, with the Shemen HaMishka, with the Sinsenes HaMot, he put all the good things into the base, into the base HaMikdash. The whole Bais Sheni, when they had Kohanim Gedolim, they didn't do Mashiach B'Shemen HaMishka, because they didn't have it. That's an interesting thing. The Doris Bavoy, the Rashi in Abu Dhabi, Dachnun Beis and Beis, comments on the Kalim. On the Kalim in the days of Chizkiyah and Elach, when they took back the Kalim in the days of Achar, they used the Kalim for Abu Dhabi. They might call it Sukkim there in Abu Dhabi. So those Kalim that we used to Abu Dhabi, it says, Echanu Vihikdashna. Mar says they touched them up, and they were Mekadish them anew. Rashi says when they were used for Avodah Zarah purposes, they were somehow Yotzei Bechulut, and then they had to be Mekadosh Lemenu by doing Meshicha B'Shemen HaMishcha. That's what Rashi writes. So Achrayim asks, what is he talking about? There is no Meshicha B'Shemen HaMishcha Vidor. It's called Akei Meshach Samoish Meshachas Mekadoshot. Mekadosh Chavay Dosim Acham Tosim. B'Shemen HaMishcha was around. It was always around. Rashi says, Shemen Mishchas Kodesh Yiyadzeh Lilo Dere Sechem B'Yud Beis Lugim. There's Yimatria 12. So the Yud Beis Lugim of B'Shemen HaMishcha, the Gemara says increases in the first period of the Yud Beis Lugim. So the Yudhis Lugim lasted to meet the Dera Sechem. Wa'adli Yom Elam. It was never used up. It's still there. The full 12 Lugim of the Shemin HaMishcha is still there. We have some in the basement of the Beis HaMikdash somewhere.
Just for viewing, I mean, when they kept it all those years, just to look at it.
Yeah. That's all it. So the question is, fine, so it's around. The Shemin HaMishcha is around. But how does Rashi say there in Avodah Zarah that the Achrayim asking Rashi? How does Rashi say that they were Mekadosh the Kalim in the days of Chizkiyo, they Mekadosh those Kalim again, that we used for Avodah Zarah in the days of Ochos, Echanun, the Dashnun, the Gemara says, Mekam Yelach Avodah Zarah, Mekam Yelach. Some study based on a Medesh Pliya, based on a Medesh Pliya. Rabbi Yosef Engel dug up a Medesh Pliya. That Rabbi Yosef Engel has this encyclopedia, that only two volumes are printed, A and B, Alam Bex, and the Besides. And basically, it's a head of base. We talked about the letter B. So he talked about one of the essays is about boink effort. That normally we have a rule in logic that if you have a cause and an effect, the cause has to just be the effect. And we have sometimes the halacha had situations where you have what we call boink effort. But logically speaking, you can't have A unless you have B, and you can't have B unless you have A. You say, just do it, and you'll have A and B will be called together. How does it work? Mars is boink after. Strangely. So the mashal. So the mashal. Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes loads of mashal. So he gives one of his mashalim is, call our kelim in the Beis HaMikdash, not in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Make it klisharis. So it doesn't yet have the full din of Kedushas Kli Sharis. So how do you endow it with the Kedushas Kli Sharis? So the din is Avodas HaMechan Pas. You do an Avodah with it. So let's say you put in a Mincha and a Kli Sharis that doesn't yet have the full Kedushas Kli Sharis, and you do a Kmitza in the Kli. You do the Kmitza in the Kli. So told man that it doesn't have the Kedushas Kli Sharis, the Kmitza doesn't have the status of the Kmitza. If it's not a Kmitza, then it's not an Avodah. If it's not an Avodah, then it can't be Mechanachet. You have to have Dak Avodas HaMechan Pas. But Yosef Engel says, how does the din ever get off the ground? I must see that it's one kefir. The halacha says it becomes a klisharis because the kmitza. It does have the status of a kmitza because everything comes together. That's the halacha. Even though sort of it's a violation of this logical principle that you have to have a cause and an effect. That the cause has to precede the effect. How can it be brought down? So it gives you a list of 20, 30 cases we have halachas that say that one kefir. Then Rabbi Yosef Engel says, oh, but he found a Medrash in Parshas Boy, I think the Alpha Shimoni in Parshas Boy, that has a loose story. But that's not what it means, Kol HaKelim, Mikan V'Yelech, Avidosa Mechan Chosam. That you make a golden kli, and you put it in flour, and you do a kmitza, and that's Avidosa Mechan Chosam. No, it says Avidosa Mechan Chosam is done as follows. You take a kli shoreis, that was from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. And you put the mincha in that, and the kli is mekadosh the mincha. And that kli from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu had a kedusha idei mashiach b'shem and amishcha. Then you pour your mara, you pour from that kli into this kli. So that's how we go to mechan chosam. You have already the mashiach b'shem and amishcha from the previous kli works on this kli.
If we're rejecting one kefir,
it's fanatic. Right. That's not an example of one kefir. Let's say you want a kli for the purpose of Kabbalah Saddam. Mizrachim with the Beis HaMikdash for the purpose of Kabbalah Saddam. So the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, let's say they had 1,000 Mizrachim, to be the Kabbalah, to be Zerik, and Mizbech, and Mizrach. So those 1,000 came, they had to do Mishich, B'Shem HaMishcha, Kulgul B'Shem HaMishcha, each one. And Pilat, Loim, and Moichus occurred, the Shem HaMishcha wasn't used up. All the Yud-Beis Lugim are still intact. Okay, so you had 1,000 came, they had Kedushas Mizrach, as Kedushas Kulishar, for the purpose of being the Kaddish Saddam, and to be Zerik, and not the Mizrach. Then, 100 years down the line, 200 years down the line, they no longer have 1,000 kelim. They broke, they got lost, whatever. People stole, garbage stole, whatever. So they only have now 100 kelim. So we've got to make another 900 kelim. You can't live with only 100 kelim in the Beis HaMikdash, 100 mizrachim. So they make 900. So they shek the korban. Then the kabbalah dam on one of the old mizrachim. And then they pour that dam into a new mizrach. So now, even if all of the old mizrachim from the day of Israel, Moshe Rabbeinu, are gone or forgotten, they don't exist anymore. They all broke, they all were stolen, they all disappeared, they evaporated into thin air. But still, all the mizrachim in the Beis HaMikdash got the kedusha from the Mashiach Moshe Rabbeinu. So then, another 500 years later down the road, they need another set of mizrachim. So they'll be mekabel the dam in the old mizrach, and they'll pour the dam from the old mizrach to the new mizrach. The old mizrach had Dam poured it from an older one, from originally. So everything is this Kaddish law from the Mashiach B'Shem HaMishcha in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's how Rabbi Yosef Engel touches this marriage. Yishem Yishmuel on today's Seder also has like that. The Mashiach B'Shem HaMishcha is the only way to give an everlasting Kedusha, because it says, Yiyazel Li L'Zeresechem. Whenever it says Li, so it means L'Zeresechem. That's the Sifrei that we mentioned about Esfri Shivimish, the Sifrei on Parshish B'Haloistah. That's really Shivimish, that the din of Sanhedrin is a din of Doris. You also Li Migdash, the Migdash is a din of Doris. Whatever it says Li, it means the Doris. So he has this also, he quotes this Medrash, this Yaakov Shemani also in Parshas Boy. That the Mashiach and Meshem and HaMishcha of the Kalim in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu enabled all of the Kalim in the future to get the Kedusha. It's not that, he doesn't explain it, though Rabbi Yosef Tengel explains it. It's not based on Boy Kiech or this illogical thing. You have another 29 cases based on Boy Kiech, not this one. It's one of the days that everything is rooted in the Mashiach and B'Shem and HaMishcha. So I'm just thinking, if you say it like that, I think somebody writes like that. Then the Rashi and Avodah Zorah may be the Yushit. How does Rashi come off to say in Avodah Zorah, definitely in base on the days, in the days of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, Echanum V'Hikdashnum. What are you talking about? That they use Mashiach and B'Shem and HaMishcha? The Gemara says you don't do it. Kol HaKem Shas HaMashim Mashiach HaSim Katshav, Kavyelach HaVedos Mechan Chos. So maybe Rashi holds like this Medrash Kliya, maybe holds like this Teledic work. One never says that that's the way you do it. That you pour from the old into the new. It doesn't say that. It's like a medrash kliya to say that. But if you hold like that, if that's correct, then that'll only be niche if you have culture a couple of old kelim. But it says that Ochos took all of the kelim in the Beis HaMikdash, used everything from his Zohar purpose. So he canceled the kedusha from all the kelim. So there was no kli to pour from. So they had to start yesh meyayin. So they had the nidlak in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Shaman HaMishcha was around. It didn't diminish. You'd basically give it over there. So Rashi perhaps means that for that reason, in the days of Yeshua and the days of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, they had to start all over with Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha. Then the Torah has the din of Ketores. Ketores is a carbon that you bring on the Mizbach HaKetores. On the Mizbach HaPnimi. The Gemara says there are Yud Aleph HaKadasa Samanim Haibo. So there were 11 Salamonim in the Rashi and the Chumash called Kali Gemara derived from the Pesukim. There were 11 Salamonim. In Chelvana, the Gemara says the priests had a bad Reyach. Our priests in Kuman Hariya. Chelvana didn't have a pleasant aroma. The other 10 had pleasant smelling aromas. Chelvana had a Reyach Ra to teach us the lesson that whenever we have a kind of sequel, we always have to be Meshachet Poshe Yisrael. You have to come together with the non-observant Jews. The Chelvana has a Reyach Ra that's representative of the non-observant Jews. So the Mashiach has in the Chiddush HaGadol there on Hiriyas, a famous comment to the later Achrayim quote, that there were 11 Salmonim because they needed a minion, so they had to have a minion of Frumah people. They didn't, they weren't Mitzahar Techalvanah for the minion. Fine, you have to be Mitzahar Techalvanah for the tiny Sibur, but you can't cap them for the minion. That's a famous comment that they all quote from the Mashiach. There is a Machlokes Satanoim. What it says in the Siddur, in the Pit Makteris, it says that they used the Melech Sodom as Rov HaKol. So there is a Machlokes Satanoim in, I think it's in Menachos. There is a Machlokes Satanoim whether Teres needs a Kol Karbon Chatakrit Melech, because it didn't parish a Sav, you have to have salt on all the Karbonas. Does that then apply to Teres because it wasn't offered on the outside Mizbech, it was offered on the inside Mizbech? So it was a Machlokes Satanoim. So according to one Tana, that it didn't need Melech, how come they incorporated Melech Sodom as Rav HaKol? So one place it's right, the Avnei Nezer has a tshuva about this. And Chelek Aleph in Archaim, the one that we're using for Hilchas Shabbos, in the beginning of Archaim he has in Hilchas Tefillah, he talks about the Pit Makteris a little bit, among other things. So it says, Mele Yikafisi, Mele Chamachi, Rai Hantik, Melech Sodom as Rav HaKol. So we have two dots, you have to, Mele Chamachi, Rai Hantik, the good Atayim, then it says a new sentence, Melech Sodom as Rav HaKol, Malosh and Kol Shavu. That's the way we read it. But if you go to places increases, it says not Melo, in Kafrisi, maybe Chamachi, Bari, and Atik, Kama, Melech Sodom as Rav HaKol, period. That's in the event that you don't have Yen Kafrisi, it's supposed to have Yen Kafrisi. If you don't have that, so you substitute it with two things. Chamachi, Bari, and Atik, and Melech Sodom as Rav HaKol. But if you have Yen Kafrisi, then you can do without your Melech Sodom. You can do without the Melech Sodom. And then Taisa says that even according to the Tanah who hold that the people that Torah does need Melach, you do need Melech. The Taisa says, but you don't salt the Kavanas until you put it on the Mizbeach. When you put it on the Mizbeach, then you pour the salt on. You don't have to mix in salt, Peshat Maisa, when you're making the Torah.
Why do we think that this Melach has to do with the Melech as Kavanas? It's just one of the ingredients.
That's what Taisa says, right? It's one of the ingredients. The Taisa says, he quotes a steer in two Taisa. One Taisa says that Melech Sodom is only brought imein lo yen kafris maybe chamachi v'ayin atik Melech Sodom is Rav HaKol. But if you have yen kafris, then you don't have the Melech Sodom at all. And even according to the other Taisa that you always bring Melech Sodom is also has nothing to do with the Machlokes Satanaim. There is a Machlokes Satanaim, and there's a Machlokes the Kesem Mishnah Melech Mishnah and the Rambam, which way the Rambam passes. It's unclear. The Rambam is unclear, but he holds that Pitmach that Teres needs Melech, Teres does not need Melech. Machlokes the Lech Mishnah and Kesem Mishnah. That whether he passes like the one time or the other, that Ketores needs Melech, because it's on the Mizbech HaPnili. So Taisa says that even if you hold that Ketores needs Melech, but you don't have to be Melech so early, and the you don't have to be Melech until you put it on the Mizbech HaPnili. So what are you putting the Melech in now? So the one day in Taisa, this is when there's no Yen Kafis in, you have to put in Chamar Kevayin Atik with Melech Sodomis, and the other day there's no, you always need Melech Sodomis. It's part of the Pitmach Ketores. Where does it say that in the Chumash? The Chumash lists off all of the various ingredients that you put into the Teres, and it doesn't say Melech Sodom. It says, Yosisa was the Teres, Rokach Maasei Rakeach, Mulach Toha Kodesh. Some say the Ramban has to have the Mulach, and you have to put in salt. Ramban has two pshat and what the Mulach is. Targum does not learn like that.
Stirred up.
Right, that's how the Talmud list says. Ma'orav, mixed in, stirred well. And the Ramban has another shot. Ma'orav means that you should put in salt. Either comes from the word ma'orav, that you need metal sedemis, not from the din of Malicham Karbonis, or comes from the Rokach Maser Akeh. Rokach Maser Akeh has the connotation of mixing whatever is necessary to make the concoction smell. So if you find that the metal sedemis is good, so put that in also. It's either included in the word Rokach Maser Akeh, or it's learned out in the word ma'orav.
So that's what the Machlokes Tanoim was about. Is the Machlokes Tanoim or?
Machlokes Tanoim, where the Torah requires Malicha like all other Kabbalists.
So the one who holds yes holds, besides being one of the ingredients.
I don't think so. If you already have salt, I don't think there's any need to add additional salt. I don't think so. The one Tanoim holds that you don't need. Apparently he says that that the mulach means stirred.
So Tosh is coming to explain the other mandalam.
What do you mean the other mandalam?
One mandalam says you don't need it at all.
Is that true?
Right. Yeah. One says you need it.
So Tosh says even if you hold that you need it, he never said that you need it from the very beginning. In Pikmak Torahs, when you manufacture the Torahs, when you put it on the Mizbeach and you're about to burn it, then you should throw on a little bit of salt. Like all korbanos. Need malicha when you put it on the Mizbeach. It has the marshal of carbon.
Despite the fact that it's listed in the price as one of the, it sounds in the price like it's one of the ingredients.
Right.
Joseph explains that price to me, it's the same legal you do another Kurbanos said at the time of putting up his bed.
No. They say not so. That it was one of the ingredients.
It was one of the ingredients.
And it's even according to the Talmud says that you need malicha, but there would be no need to put the salt earlier. So why do you put the salt earlier? So that's what Pamsh Tais is to say. It goes, Meila Yen Kafrisin. Then he brings the Melech Sedoimus. But if he has Yen Kafrisin, then you don't have the Chlam Melech Sedoimus. I need malicha on the Kfaris, when you'll be makter, you put on the malicha. Adarav, the Gemara says when you, let's say you bring a Karda Mincha, and you do Kmitz, and then you burn the Kaimitz on the Mizbeach. So you put the salt on, and the Kaimitz is on the Mizbeach. You don't mix in the salt before, and then you do the Kmitz. If you do the Kmitz with the salt in it, so it'll be Kaimitz Chasera. That speck of the Kaimitz, that tiny masha of the Kaimitz that has salt. Instead of flour, it'll be a koimetz chaser. So it'll be pasa. So you have to, if you have salt, you have to move all the salt to the side. You're not supposed to salt the mincha. Until they have to do the kmit. But here, the melech sedayim is, let's say, on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, when the kohen gadol has to take melech haftan, tzarasamim dako, so how could the Avnei Nezer has the kasha? How does he take melech haftan if this salt is just for the purpose of fulfilling the dinner called kabon chatak and melech, so the salt doesn't really blend in to become part of the ktoiris. So it should be a melech haftan. Just like if you do kmitza and a mincha, and all of the other gargir shalom melech, so the Mishnah says in Menachos that it's called the kaimitz chaser. So let the melech haftan always be chaser because you have a little salt in it. So he says, no, apparently the salt is not b'toyres, either not only or not at all b'toyres. I'll call kabban chatak melech. The salt is because of the din of a mulach. The salt is because of the din of rokach maser akech. It fits into the concoction, so it blends in to become part of the tikkumak toyres. The salt by the mincha does not blend in to become part, but the salt by the toyres. Writes in Hilchas Mincha that the reason why in Minig Ashkenaz they only say Tikmat Torahs in the. He says the reason why they only say the Shir Shal Yom by Shachris, the Sfarim say Tikmat Torahs by Mincha also, no? But we only say the Shir Shal Yom by Shachris. He says, why don't they say the Shir Shal Yom by Mincha? If you will, that's connected to Tomash Lobain Abayim, and after the Tomash Lobain Abayim, they did the Nisach Hayayim, and they sang the Shir Shal Yom in conjunction with the Nisach Hayayim. So the Torah says, no, they only sang the Shir Shayom in the morning. They never sang the Shir Shayom in the afternoon. The Achranim asked that it's against the Gemara, the most of the faith. It's Mishnah Rosh Hashanah says that once the Eidim came late on Rosh Hashanah, the Skalkalu, how it be in the Shir, they brought the Tamash of Ben Abayim and they sang the wrong Shir with the Tamash of Ben Abayim. So they all asked that it's against the Torah. But Pitmach Torah, I think it says, the Torah says you should say, even by Mincha also. they just say. The Gemara in Brachas Daf Nun Hey comments on the pasuk. Rei Karasi B'Shem Mitzal Ben Urbe Chulamati Yehuda. But his Baruch Hu is appointing the Tzal to be in charge of making everything for the Mishkan. So what does it say? Rei Karasi B'Shem. What does that mean? So the Gemara in Brachas, and it says the same thing later in Bayaka. One Brachas Tanon says it means I am interested, or the Baruch Hu is interested in appointing the Tzal. But he wants to have the approval of Bnei Yisrael because there is a din Eimer Man in Parnas Alat Zibur that came in the Lachim Bahem Tchilo. You're not allowed to have, let's say, a shliach tzibur, or a rabbi in the community, or anyone who has tzrara over others, unless you have the consent of the people at the time when he's appointed. So the Gemara derives it from this pasuk. I don't know. Were they really shluchei hatzibur? I don't know. But I would also you have to have. Unless it goes to Yush, but did Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get it to Yush? How exactly was Bezalel a Shliach HaTzibur? What did he do?
Nailed the
kid. So how was that the Shliach HaTzibur?
Is that a
Shliach HaTzibur
to make a
Mishma? Let's say, but is that a Srora? That's considered a Srora. You got a pay job? It's also not sure. Garbage collector. Garbage collector also has to be. I don't like that garbage collector. So not a lot of pointers.
No, he's not just. If we just be a craftsman, it's one thing. He's in charge of all the craftsmen. He goes and tells everybody.
So you have to have the haskam of all the other craftsmen. You have to have the haskam of the people over whom he's balabat. Is it well? You have to have Dan's Klaus Yisrael, the consent.
So contributing. And he can tell people, you shouldn't give red wool, you should give blue wool. And the isn't that magic that he had in mind? He was able to know Machshavos of different people, therefore he could say which kli should be a tzura for which person.
Yeah, but why was that a tzura?
And Bisman
Bismikdash,
they appointed someone to build Bismikdash, and everybody else had to agree with it.
No, I don't think so. So we'll set this over here. So some of Farshim say that based on the Rashi, that the purpose of the building of the Mishkan was to serve as a kapara for the Chet HaEgel. So the one who was doing the building of the Mishkan was Kiilu. He had been a Shliach HaTzibur to acquire an atonement for everyone. So that's why you have to have the Haskamas of
Tzibur. Does it require a unanimous Haskamas?
Majority rule. Yeah. So in Shulchan Aruch, Magen Avraham says when you were in Siman Nun Gimel, same Siman by the Shliach Tzibur. He says when you initially appoint a rabbi or a chazan or one to a position of Tzibur, you have to have a unanimous vote. And then later, after time goes on, after he was re-elected, all he needs is a majority to maintain his position. But he says he needed a unanimous vote initially. Make life impossible.
Right.
And he writes that later the minhag developed that it was sufficient with the majority vote even to get the position in the first place. That's the Magen Avraham. He quotes this from earlier Achrayim like that. And the Shulchan Aruch, they have to also on Siman and Gimel. It says that, and in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah it says that a chazin may not grab the omen. Somebody may not grab the omen because of him. Because he's considered the Shliach HaTzibur. First of all, Shluch Shlomo Kimoza is only Matan Adaikhim of Shluchachim Adaikhim. That's one time. That's what the Vilna Gaon says. That the Shliach HaTzibur is like a Shliach. There has to be Adaikhim. Is that so? The Shliach HaTzibur is a Shliach. The Mishnah says in Drachas, the only place where that expression appears, Shluch Shlomo Kimoza appears in the Mishnah, is the Mishnah in Drachas. That it says that the Shliach HaTzibur Shato is a Siman Rav Shulchav, and the Shluch Shlomo Kimoza. So as Alechik said, that it's a little paradoxical that the only place where the Mishnah has that lashon is in Brachas, and there he doesn't think that that's really a din of shlichus. It's not really a din of shlichus. It's a din that he does the tefillah on behalf of the tefillah. It's not really a din of shlichus, like shlichus by giving the kiddushin by mekach hamemkas. It doesn't really work with that din. But the Birach Ro quotes that the original reason of the Achronim give that one should not grab the omen b'chaska. That the consent of the tzibur because he's a shliach hatzibur and the shliach has to be matam ledaikchem al shluchachem ledaikchem. But rather say a different time, not matam ledaikchem. The shliach hatzibur is like a memun al hatzibur, at least for this davening, for this minyan. doesn't have to be. Betzalel was mamuna for good. If you have a chazan or a rabbi who's mamuna permanently, you have a shliach tzibur to daven min, to daven shachris, he's mamuna for that tzibur. He's representing the tzibur. So that has to be midas hatzibur. And if the fella grabs it, shalei b'das hatzibur, so what's the din? So it says, Shulchan Aruch, ein ha'enim akra v'amin. You don't answer v'amin after the brachas. Why not? Because al pidin, the shlichas is not chal. So it's really brachas labatola. He has no right to daven, that's why. That's what some say. But since, if you say, if it's the loshen, that is only going for it from the early Akronim. Ma'adchem, ma'adchem, ma'av shlichachem, ma'adaitachem. So a shlichach who does on his own without the authorization of the mishalech, is mishkim shlichach b'chlau. So it says you shouldn't. You're not allowed to say amen. That's it. If you say the time that the Birag Rok quoted on the Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Rosh Hashanah.
Why is your side has unblended voice? He insists yes and doubts.
Right. So Mishnah Brura says there in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah that even if the guy has yartzeit and achiyev and shloshim and shiv and everything, if the people don't want him to daven, he's not allowed to daven for anam. He has achiyev, but it's not at the expense of the tzibur. They're not prepared to suffer with him. But they don't, let's say he has a beautiful voice, but they just don't like him. And they're very unhappy about the fact that he's serving as the shtetl. So he's not allowed to take the omen. He's not allowed to.
People have that answer if the
that's the question. So in Shulchan Aruch it says, Ein oinim akrav omen. You don't answer omen. What does that mean? So the, according to the reason, the first reason that they give, that it's matan ledaitchem af shulchachem ledaitchem, so the shlich is mamish natcha. Mamish brachas levav tov. So you're not allowed to say omen. According to the second time, if you say that, it's not really shlichis. You can't really say ledaitchem. But you say the second time, Elim iman paris halatzir v'chein l'lochem behem t'chilo, it's based on this pasuk here, Ey, ru, karosi b'shem, Ey, karosi b'shem, it's psukim here in Vayakil. So what would be b'diyevet if he did a point? So there's a tshuva in the Chavatzelos HaSharon about this. He says that b'diyevet the minui would be chal. There's a cherem hakadmoinim. In the sacred crazy place on Chesh Mishpat, he quoted there's a cherem hakadmoinim against one who is maman at Paris al Atzibo, Shalei Midas Atzibo. This is apparently a big issue in Europe all the time. When they had a machlekes, he would appoint as the rabbi in the community, so some wealthy balabas would bribe some of the key balabatim to put in his relative, put in his son-in-law, his cousin, whatever, his uncle, to appoint him as the Rav. And it would often be against the Ratzon of the Kehillah, against the wishes of the Kehillah. So there were 150 Rabbanim in the days of the Maharam Wittenberg, I think it was. So they made a cherem against this. What do you have to make a cherem for? It was also anyway. So Chadin der Eisen. Cherem is worse. Cherem, you should drop that. And he's a klala that you should drop. So the crazy place, and Chosh Mishpah quotes this. But the truth is Maharam. That there's a cherem hakamon. So the Chavatzelos HaShorah has a tshuva about this also. He says that, yeah, but if you made such an inui, the Yismanos would be chal, but the guy would still be in violation of the cherem. He'd be violating the Yisr, the Araisa, of Rei Karas of Hashem, in violating the cherem. The cherem of the Kadmonim. Yeah, but... No. You're not allowed to sit in Dalaran, but that's not always included. Cherem is a curse that the guy should die, because he's doing a certain avera. The Chachamim choose to include into the cherem also that no one should deal with the person, no one should speak to him, no one should walk with him in the Dalaran, and some that have the option of doing that. But that's not the main part of the cherem. The main part of the cherem is that he should die, because of the sin that he's doing.
So make a cherem, they announce it. It's going to that point. When they make the cherem, they should announce
it. If they want to add on dessert, with icing and everything, then they have to add that on if they don't.
Stam cherem, you'll have to talk to him and do business.
Yeah, stam cherem just means a curse that the guy should die. If you want to add on more, then you have to specify what additional aspects you're adding on. So you say like the Chavatzelos HaShorim, then it means that b'diyeved, it is good. B'diyeved, the guy is in a position of sorrow, b'diyeved, he is considered the shliach hatzibur. And still it says, ein oinim akrav omen, so the Achrayim give a different time why they say, when you say omen to a bracha, not only are you being masking, omen means I'm masking, not only are you masking to the theme of the bracha, you'd be masking to the fact that Pliny recited the bracha. I'm asking that the contents of the bracha, the shevach or the bakasha, whatever is, it depends what it is. If it's a shevach, I'm asking amen that it's true. If it's a bakasha, I say amen. He writes in the Rakhadish bracha should bring it to be true, should cause it to be true. But in addition to that meaning of amen, I'm asking to the bakasha, I'm asking to the shevach. Amen also means I'm asking to the fact that Ish Pliny is the one who's right to say that bracha. So that's what it says. I know the amen that you shouldn't say amen if you hold that it's not right that guy should be davening for an omen. But it's not that it's really, if you hold like this, not that it's really a brachal about Tola. No, it's not really dinim shluchah shlomim kimoise, that without the das of the mashaleach, so you can't serve the shlichah. It's not really dinim shliach. It's a different thing. He's representing the tzibur shlomim dinim shlichah. So it can work even about Pach, except he's over. Where does Shalom
the shluchah
Yeah, the people in the shul, if they see that this guy's a nut, so they should let him down for a moment and forego their animosity towards him. But sometimes the guy who's unliked is a Tam Kochan. So he should understand on his own that the people don't like him, so he shouldn't down for a moment. They'll suffer with him for Asher Yvalatzion, whatever. But to say a Kaddish at the end of the Shir Shalom, but let's say for down for a moment, a lot of times. People don't enjoy when a certain guy dance too fast, too slow, too machnyokeve, too alayel, malara, whatever, habara sardit, habara atzmit, whatever. The guy should realize that he's not really to the call, he's not allowed to down farno, they don't want him to down farno. Even though he's the only person in the world who knows the correct pronunciation. They're not interested in being educated, they don't want, they shouldn't down farno.
This is what makes them a Gemara?
Yeah. The Gemara says on this post, a great karasi b'shem, b'tzalah. And also later in Vayakal, the same
That's
thing.
Brachas. 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 He brings Branis Kol. Matri's all over Kodesh Baruch Hu Matri.
That's a different Gemara.
It's different.
Eim Eman Faris Alatzim Kenim Lachim Behem Tchilo. It's another Gemara. And that probably brings it on Vayakal. And that's the Gemara that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch and Stim and Nun Gimel by the Chazal. On the word Digdei Hasrod, there's a Machlokes Rashi in the Ramban. What in the world is the Digdei Hasrod? Nobody knows what it is. Rashi said, it's not the Digdei Kuhunen. It says, that's Digdei Hasrod. Yes, Digdei HaKodesh La'aranakan is Digdei Bamalachan. So it speaks like Digdei Kuhunen. Obviously, Digdei Hasrod is something else. So what is it? So Rashi said, these are the... Like if you have a couch, so you have a cloth cover on a couch, so the people shouldn't get the couch dirty. So these were the big diastrot that covered up when they were traveling in the Midbar. These were the kelim, and these were the cloth covers that covered over the kelim when they were traveling in the Midbar. That's how Rashi learns. And the Ramban quotes a Gemara and Yuma that it's not so. Gemara and Yuma says in the first, the big diastrot are identical with the big diakuna. I had to read the passage, big diastrot, v'yeis, big diakodesh, l'amen akodesh. The Ramban has a hard time. But he says, Bigdei Hasrod means Bigdei Kuhunah. How did the word Bigdei Hasrod come to mean Bigdei Kuhunah? It's a big problem. So the Ramban, at his Betches Apshat, he quotes a pasuk from Psuvim. What does it say? Hasridim Asher Hashem Korei, Yichidei Sgula. So he said, Bigdei Hasrod are the begodim that the Kohanim wear because of their unique position. Bigdei Hasridim. Bigdei Hasrod is Bigdei Hasridim. Special begotten for the special people. What's the Gemara Yuma? The Gemara said the very big Asrod of Big Dikun against Rashi. Yes, how can be Rashi Chazen al Gemara? Good to catch. The Ramban has a time against the next Rashi also. It says, Batod Abel Bnei Soleima, Acha Shepsoi Se Tishmeru. So Acha is a Miyu. Acha Virakim Miyutim. So what is it in the Ma'i Tavi? Acha Shepsoi Se Tishmeru. So Rashi says it's memaye that you're not allowed to be machal Shabbos for the purpose of building the mishkan. So the Ramban asks, how do you get that? If it says you have to keep Shabbos, then it says ach. So it means that you don't always have to keep Shabbos, and sometimes you are machal Shabbos. If you're telling me that this year goes on Binyan Beis Hamikdash, means that Binyan Beis Hamikdash is derech Shabbos. The din is fakir Binyan Beis Hamikdash not derech Shabbos. Till late time, how can Rashi say that? Ach, Shabbos says tishmaru. You should be careful. Kalach and the Rakan be used in Lamayit Shabbos and Mulekas HaMishkan. The Tum Taker, if you give a mic. So the Ramban said it's a Gemara in Yuma. There is no such Gemara in Yuma. So on the bottom of the Ramban, it says it's a Yerushalmi in Yuma, not in the Babylon. There's a Yerushalmi in Yuma that says, Ah, is Mamayit and Hilcha Shabbos. And sometimes you're permitted to be Mechal Shabbos. When is that? For the purpose of Mila Bismana. Gemara is all Sugi and Shabbos Perikablos and Mila. How do you know that Mila Bismana is there for Shabbos and Yom? The Gemara has a whole series of Yakuz. So the Yerushalmi and Yuma that the Ramban quotes on this pasuk says it's lined up in the pasuk Acha Shabsoi Se Tishmeru. And one opinion is that this pasuk is the marker Acha is the marker of Pikuach Nefesh. That in this pasuk you learn that Pikuach Nefesh is Derech Shabbos. Also Sugi and Yuma, the end of Yuma. And there are various drushes. How do you know that Pikuach Nefesh is Derech Shabbos? So the Yerushalmi and Yuma The last parak in Yuma, I learned it out from Achash of Saisi Kishmer.
Is it Machlokis, or you can learn both from them? I mean, you said it's Machlokis, Mila, or...
The Ramban writes it together. Achash Mamayit, Mila and Pikoch Nefesh. How can it be two different things? It's either Mamayit one or the other. Nothing to do with the Mishnah.
So it's a Machlokis, or the Yishami, it's Machlokis.
Yeah, Yishami, it's a Machlokis, but Ach tells me that Mila is this man, is Derech HaShabbos. Ach tells me that Pikoch Nefesh is Derech HaShabbos.
Why do you say it's Mamayit? The
Korban Tzibur, Zmana. Some of we have other psukim for that. So it's the Feirish, no?
Other
psukim for Pikuch Nefesh and Milotu? No, the other psukim for the Korban Tzibur, Derech HaShabbos, I'm a Furish. It says. Barol HaSatomid V'nizka, it says. But you bring Oil HaSatomid on Shabbos, it says the Feirish like that. You bring the Korban Tzibur, Shizman and Kavua on Shabbos. But Pikuch Nefesh and Milotu is a Machloik, is what the Mocker is. So some Amorim say that this is the Pasuk Ach, this is the Milotu. Then it says that Shabbos is an ois, Shabbos is a bris. It says ki oisi beini benechem, it's an ois. Then it says Shemayim says Shabbos bris olam, Shabbos is a bris. Beini benei Yisrael ois of the olam, everything is special. Shabbos is very special. So the fact that Shabbos is called an ois, the Gemara says this is relevant with respect to tefillin. That's how we know that you don't have to put on tefillin on Shabbos, because tefillin is called an ois and Shabbos is an ois. You only need the ois. Shartim leosal yadach, you only need the ois. On the weekdays, when there is no ois of Shabbos and Yom, Shabbos and Yom Tovah, Gufa Mois, so you don't need the ois of tefillin. Achloik is what it means that it's forbidden to wear tefillin. It means that you're exempt, you're not obligated to wear tefillin, but it's permissible. The whole deal in Achrein, Shabbos Aryeh has, and others discuss that. This Yosef quotes the Zohar that it's forbidden to wear tefillin on Shabbos Yom Tovah Chol Hamoed. And he said to wear tefillin Chol Hamoed. He obviously holds it. It's an is, not at all. Not like the Zohar. From the Bavli, they claim it would appear that there is no prohibition, just that you're exempt. You're not obligated to wear tefillin on Shabbos. Why don't wear tefillin? Isn't that good? So then Shabbos is called a bris. Shabbos is bris olam. What's the significance of the bris? I'm not exactly sure. Just remember once Rav Soloveitchik, when someone asked Rav Soloveitchik, that Prince Rosenzweig in his book, who is Prince Rosenzweig? A Jew became a Baal Tshuva, no? In the middle of the First World War or something? Something like that. And then he wrote a whole book about Jewish philosophy, but he didn't know too much beforehand, so he wrote that he patched together, he came about Shiva in the middle of the war, I think. So he patched together different things. A big point in his Hashkafah is the Magen David. The Magen David has 6 points, and this represents this, that, and the other thing, after Stats and Gans and Bobomyces. That's what the Magen David represents. It's not necessarily a Jewish symbol at all.
It's not discussed in.
No. Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about the Magen David and the Pereches. He says he doesn't know.
Not a Jewish thing.
I don't think. Moshe doesn't have any mocker. So the among other things, he has. Why do you in the davening on Shabbos morning? Why do you say Moshe Martin's telka kevinam for osulah for Christ? Moshe, why do you talk about Kabbalah Sateras? So he says. But since the Gemara says in Shabbos that Hakol Moedim, that Shavuos was on Shabbos, that every Shabbos we celebrate Kabbalah Sateira. We usually think that Shavuos we celebrate Kabbalah Sateira. Yom Kippur, it says, Lubash Nias, we give Yom Kippur, we celebrate Kabbalah Sateira, Torah Shal Peh, whatever. Erev Yom Kippur, we eat and drink, whatever. Purim, we celebrate the second Kabbalah Sateira, Kim and Kippur, and that the Suda, the Goyim say, because it's also Kabbalah Sateira, Yom Shinit, my third part. We have 3 days a year that we think that we're celebrating. He says every Shabbos is celebrating Kabbalah Sateira. Because the Gemara says Hakol Moedim that the original Shavuos fell out on Shabbos. And that's why in the davening on Shabbos morning we speak by Yismach Moshe Matan Schelka about Kabbalah Sateira. Because that's what you're celebrating on Shabbos. So remember somebody called us over to Rav Soloveitchik. And he thought that it was Hagbash. He thought that it wasn't. So someone else said, why do you talk about Yismach Moshe? Why do you talk about Yismach Moshe? So the Rishonim give reasons. They give the good explanation. So Rav Soloveitchik said right on the spot, he said a different pshat, a different time from what the Rishonim said. He said, we want to stress in the Nusach HaTfilah the fact that Shabbos is a bris, that there was a separate priest's bris. There was a priest's bris on Eretz Yisrael. There's some mitzvahs to have a separate priest's bris. We want to stress the fact that there was a separate priest's bris on Shabbos. So Shabbos is one of the Aseres HaDibris, and the Aseres HaDibris are called the Luchas HaBris. They're called the Luchas HaSoedis, and they're called the Luchas HaBris. So the first thing we mention is Yismach HaMosh Matnas Chelko Shnei Luchas Avonim Horeb Yodah V'chasa Bohem Shmir HaShabbos. So we know right away the significance of Shabbos that is referred to as a bris. There's a special priest's bris on all the Aseres HaDibris. Then we say V'chein Kasu V'Sor HaSecho And he quotes these psukim. What do we mean by psukim? So why do we pick only this? You can pick Shabbos and mention so many different places. Because this is the pasuk where Shabbos is referred to as bris olam, as having a separate priest's bris. That's what Rav Soloveitchik thought the pshat and the siddur was. So I don't know, the Rishonim give a different time. That's the why it says about Maamon Hasina, that Shabbos went through different stages in the history. The first it was Atik Kidashto, Kedem Maamon Hasina, Shabbos was Shabbos Bereshis, and Sheshis Mei Bereshis, Shabbos. You are Chalakim HaSem HaShem HaKadosh HaSoy. Shabbos is Kvi HaKaimah, from Sheshis Mei Bereshis, Shabbos was always a separate day. Then at Hasinai, Shabbos had a new added significance, that the Jewish people were mitzulat l'chazol Shabbos. That was the second stage in the history of Shabbos. And then the third stage is going to be at the Echad Shim Chayachod, that Lossi Love, it's going to be a Yom Shekulo Shabbos Miluch L'chayim O'ilam. That refers to the three stages. I think the Torah quote that a lot of other Rishonim say. So Rechik thought that that's what the Kavona was of the Yishnah. That shows that Shabbos is a bris. Was the Luchas Vedas are the Luchas of Bris, V'chein Kasub Surah Serach, on another place in Chumash, it refers to Shabbos as a Bris. Shabbos has a separate priestly Bris. The Netziv, on this Pasuk, quotes Rav Chaim Brisker. I think he quotes Chasni HaGoyim Rav Chaim Alevi. It wasn't his son-in-law, it was his son-in-law's son-in-law. I don't know, I have to find out, did he have a son-in-law by the name of Chaim Alevi? Got to look in the books. I don't know. So he discusses over here. The Ravid Azov has part of this also, but not all of it. We have a din in the Gemara that Machal Shabbos Befrahesi Dinikata. So there's a deal in the Nachrayim, but this is a din there. I said din the Rabbanon. That's Machal Shabbos Befrahesi Hushek Lishkitas and Avela. You're not allowed to eat the meat. Is that a real din there? I said that if you eat in the Gosser, you're over the Eastern Avela, and I thought you get Malchus. Well, it's only an Issa de Rabbanah. So that's a machlekes in the Yeridaya. Not Simon. Where's the Simon base? In the Gimel. But a Mumma Shashachat is a machlekes. It's for sure. How do I pray and talk about it? Whether it's a Dinder Isa, Dinder Rabbanah. So if you hold it's a Dinder Isa, where is the Makra in the Chumash? Where did it say that? Machal Shabbos, Professor Dinikar. So the Netziv, and this pasuk has in the tiny footnotes on the bottom, the Herchav Dovra, on the bottom of the Hamish Dovra. He quotes the Chubas Hatash Beis. It quotes the Chuvas HaGoinim, and the Tajbitz also quotes it from the Balawitur that is learned out from this pasuk. That it says, Osi Beini Beinech Medarasech Medas, Ki Ani Hashem Mikadishchem. I give Shabbos to the Jewish people and I give them the Kedushas Yisrael. Sounds like whoever doesn't keep Shabbos is not Jewish. That's the marker of the name. So the Netziv says, it's not their marker. Obviously, we hold that it's a din d'oraisa. Yeah, it should even be the tzinnin. I don't know. That was something you have to patch up a little bit. So the Netziv says, sounds good, but he says, to say that the Balaita holds like that, that must be a mistake. The Balaita can't hold like that, because we all know there's a Beis Yosef in Ebenezer, but the Beis Yosef quotes the Balaita as saying that a Machal Shabbos, because he didn't copy as long as he does Avodah Sakarta. He doesn't do Avodah Sakarka, so he's not a Machal Shabbos Befrahes. So if it's based on this pasuk, so what is it, where do you see a distinction between Avodah Sakarka and non-Avodah Sakarka? So everybody asks in the Balaita, what in the world is he talking about? To look between Avodah Sakarka and non-Avodah Sakarka. It doesn't make any sense. I remember seeing Rabbi Norman say, Rabbi Sager, he quotes something from Blazer Silva. I don't remember what, if he said it's a Torah Sefer and he was Magia. Remember what? That if Avodah Sakarka should say something else. I have it here in my office, I have to look it up. Some of the different gears, it shouldn't say Avodah Sakarka. It just doesn't make any sense the way it says. So the Netziv holds that's what the Balaita said and that's what he meant. So what is he talking about? So he says the Balaita must hold that it's based on a different pasuk in the end of Mishpatim. Where does it have Shabbos at the end of Mishpatim? It says Bachorosh Bakatsa Tishpat something. No, that's at the end of Kisisa.
It's right before Shishi. That's Kimmel.
That's right. Shishi Zam Tasa Masecha Yom HaShvi Tishbiz Ma'ani Yuch Shoch V'chamech V'nav Shpana Masecha V'chol Shmat Alech Mitisham Avshim V'chem Lo Yisaskil Yisham Al-Picha. He says, since it has a Pesach, the Zohar, right next to Shabbos, exactly.
Like a smoothie.
Yeah, Yes. So since you have Avodah Zarah, Shabbos leading right into Avodah Zarah. So that's the relationship. So you see the Machal Shabbos is Dina Ka'akum from the end. And that must be the marker of the Balita, that it's only Avodah Sakarka, because in the filter says on that passage, why do you need so many psukim to be Mazar about Shabbos? It says 100,000 times already. What do you need Nacha Pasik? So the Mechilta says, Rashi quotes it again. Mechilta says, what do you need Nacha Pasik? Rashi writes, "Vayom Hashvi Tishbus Ap Bashana Hashviis Let the Yoke Shabbos Bereishis Bum Koma." Even during the Shemitah year, you have to be observed the laws of Shabbos also. What's the Chiddush? So, like Taima, you shouldn't argue the point and think, "Hoyel B'chol Hashana Kruya Shabbos." The whole year is Shabbos. So maybe like Tishbus Bashana Shabbos Bereishis. Maybe you don't have to observe the laws of Shabbos. So the pasuk repeats it again, and it says, "Hashviis Tishbus Tena Natash Top Pasuk Giralik." You have to keep the laws of Shemitah. Then it says you have to keep the laws of Shabbos even during Shnasa Shmita, you have to keep the laws of Avodah Zarah. So he says the Pasuk is obviously referring to the laws of Shabbos that have to do with Avodah Sakarka. What's the Havmina? That you're allowed to do Tofer in Shnasa Shmita? Why? Just because of Shnasa Shmita, Shabbos laws. The whole year is Shabbos. The laws of Shmita only affect Avodah Sakarka. So I would have thought that the laws of Shabbos that have to do with Avodah Sakarka don't apply this year. We have a substitute for those. All the hilchos avodas hakarka are substituted with hilchos avodas hakarka of Shemitah. So the pasuk in Mishpatim is only speaking about Shabbos of avodas hakarka. And then the next pasuk says that it's hukish avodas zarah. So that must be the makor of the baluita, the machal Shabbos for hesed dinakach. But it can't be like the Tashbitz quotes that the baluita also holds like the gonim that is based on the pasuk here in Parshas Kisis. So this is his tilkul. He quotes the Tashbitz and he quotes the baluita. But Avodah Sakarka, and he says, Balita must be based on the other pasuk, can't be based on this pasuk. Then he says, V'chasni, Hagoyen, Rab Chaim Halevi, said a different marker. How do you know Machal Shabbos Befrahesi is Dina Ka'akum, where did they get it from? So he said, it's an offer to Yerushalmi. That the Yerushalmi says, when they went out to collect the mon, when they went to collect the mon, but Yekin Lam, they went carrying out pots and pans to collect them on. So the Machal Shabbos. So Hashem gets angry and says, how long will you violate all of my laws? What did they do? They were just Machal Shabbos. They didn't violate the Maid Aziz. So there's Yerushalmi somewhere, my cotton or something. Who the Torah mean talks
about?
Oh, so the Rav Chaim said that that's the marker for the din. That's the marker in the Chumash for the din. The Yishami said that there's a Rai from Chumash, from Torah, from Neviva, from Ksuvim. So the Rai from Torah is the Pasuk in Mishalach. Rav Chaim said that's the marker. That's the Drosh of the Machal Shabbos and Chayas Nidin Kav. The Gemara Chulin has the din, and that's hey, the Gemara David says what Pasuk is that. You learn it out from. That's what the Netziv has the whole discussion. Where is the Pasuk?
Get a quote for that.
The Midrashim understand the idea of the Lucha is that it's like Kesef Kiddush. Rashi quotes from the Medrash that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Lucha was the Tidin Kipnuya, but the Tidin Keshis Ishin's Insult. So you see that it's like giving over the Kesef Kiddush. They want, but Rabbah wants to give a visible symbol to the Insult to represent the special relationship that he has with him, that the Chasm gives Kesef Kiddush to the Tidin. We assume that not only HaBal. And then we see what the nation thinks is the Beis HaBal. But the Mishkan is needed in order to have the Beis HaShem that the nation should enter into it. And they should be elevated to the level of the Beis. Chachamim learned that in the pasuk that not only did Moshe Rabbeinu have to put the luchos into the yard, even the shivrei luchos that he smashed the first luchos, also with Menachem Bar. But the Yishami has the machlokes where the shivrei luchos placed in the second yard, and then placed in the same yard. That's how the Balaam did it. The shivrei luchos were placed in the same yard. And this is clear that the shivrei luchos had to be treated with respect. The Gemara seems to derive from this pasuk the principle that there are two different categories of mitzvah. Some mitzvahs are some objects that we use as tashmishi kedusha, and some tashmishi mitzvah. Moshal, if you perish a bravo, an old pair of tefillin, or a tefillin zekel, or the old cardboard boxes on the tefillin, whatever, those are tefillin genizah. You can't throw them out in the garbage. You have to put them away in the shemitz box. Shemitz and tashmishi mitzvah on his rocket. You can throw it out in the garbage. How did the Gemara know that? How did the Gemara know?
Just throw it away in a dump, but not together with the eggshells.
Right, so the Rashbam in Shabbos has a right in the Gemara in Shabbos, that has a right in the Gemara that you can't throw together with the dirty things in the garden. You have to throw it separately. You have to wrap it up nicely in a separate bag and then throw it in the garden.
You can't throw it away.
Right. So how does the Gemara know that? The Kedusha after the Noah will be useful for the mitzvah has to be in the Gemara. So the Kashkus is that it's learned out in the Kashkus. I'm learned out in the Kashkus that the Shibbe Lukas will not come by right. That he wasn't much of thing wasn't obvious to throw them out, even though there were no nothing written anymore. So the problem disappeared when he smashed it. So the obvious do have nothing even before he smashed it, the earth was the prophet's
Rabia.
So why did
they
had to put it in a Maka Mechumet, so they kept it in the yard, it's nicer than burying it. Carried it around, the covetic, very the covetic.
That's a possibility.
He's derived from a possibility. He might derive it from a possibility. But not only did he have to put the Lucas, and he only had to put the Shiru Lucas as well.
Where are we?
No, I don't know if the pasuk is a mystic set. Mashenah came by Tashmishe Mitzvah. That the status of Tashmishe Mitzvah, the mocker that such an institution exists, is based on a different pasuk. That's the pasuk by Sukkah. It says, Chagat Sukkah, and the Gemara Darshan from Sukkah got said that the same Shachal Shem Shemaim ala Chagig, that Shachal Shem Shemaim ala Sukkah, but Chag refers to the Korban Chagigah. And the Sukkah has the status of Kedusha. Calls man mitzvah, but after Sukkot is over, then it doesn't any longer have any status of Tashmish Kedusha. The same thing, let's say, the circle or the 60th Yisrael mitzvah son has the status of Kedusha. After the Zman HaMitzvah is up, so it no longer has the status of Kedusha. It's only of a temporary nature.
The Kedusha itself for Zman
HaMitzvah,
the same Kedusha
Sukkot? Yeah. Right. The Ramban says that you learn everything after that Pashuk of Chagas Sukkot. Ramban about HaMadlikim.
On
Rosh Hashanah, if you blew shofar with it, if you didn't blow shofar with it, so it's only Hazman al Abdul.
The year before is also Hazman?
No. The year before, so when Rosh Hashanah is over, so there's Mana Mitzvah is up. So then you can throw the shofar out. Talis, every day the Mitzvah of Talis applies. So the Ramban says, when is it called after the Mana Mitzvah is up? Ramban says, by the Talis Shabolo, the Talis is so worn out, torn and tattered, that you don't plan to use it anymore, then it's called Mana Mitzvah is over. But with respect to Shaifer, it means when Rosh Hashanah is over. There's Mana Mitzvahs up by Sukkah, by Lulav.
The red light, you know where it's Talis
Spring? Nevertheless, he says that since it's daily mitzvah, so it's not called the.
Numakov is you can hang your coat on the scarf. It has to do with if you take your using it up or ruining it when you use it, it just hangs.
Right.
So you play the supply of the shelter.
Okay. Whatever the din is by Schach, it'll be the same thing by Shaykh. The Tach claims that it's only lost to be Mevatel and Mitzvah. If you hang your things up on the Schach, it's permissible. Another acquainted question whether this Tach is also called that it's a Machlok. If it's just, of course, Machlok.
So the
Shaykh Mitzvah,
the Shofar and Sukkah are equal to the stone, or even stronger than that.
So no, I don't think so. I think the whole difference is whether it's ever permanent. Yeah, the only temporary is permanent.
This is a
Talmud. I think that the Rabban just says the Talmud should follow. don't know, maybe not. The Ramban talks about a Beit HaKnesset. The Ramban claims that Kish is Beit HaKnesset. The Gemara talks about Kish is Beit HaKnesset. What is the Beit HaKnesset? The Ramban and Megill and Perek Bnei Ho'ir claim the Ran quotes it by Rikas. The Ramban says that it's a Tashmish and Yitzchak. Because the building of the Beit HaKnesset enables you to daven there. Not exactly the same as a Shefer or a Sitzi or a Lulav, that without that you can't fulfill the mitzvah. Here you can daven without a Beit HaKnesset also. He said that since the building, the structure of the Beit HaKnesset contains with the davening and able to do that better without interruption and interference and so on. For some people, I think other people it's convert. But he said that therefore has a status of a Tashmish and Mitzvah. But he said, but what happens if everybody moved out of the community and nobody uses this room anymore? It's locked up, nobody uses it. So he said, well, it's after this mana mitzvah is up, so the kedusha disappears. Because it's only a tashmisha mitzvah to begin with. After this mana mitzvah, and then I tell you, the kedusha disappears. So all the gemara can begin with it, speak about what do you do with the shul after nobody uses it anymore, those are all chumash from the rabbanim. I tell you, there's no problem at all. And the Rana Megillah disagrees with the Ramban. The Rana Megillah quotes the Ramban and he disagrees. He thinks that in addition to what the Ramban said, that it's a tashmisha mitzvah, it's also a tashmisha. Because it's a Midrash Miyat, similar to the Shemit. The maybe a talis that you don't use is like a shul that you don't use it, even though theoretically you could use it, but the Ramais and nobody lives in the neighborhood, so nobody uses it, so the neighborhood tip is what I mean. Either send that talis, I don't know. But the Ramban's Lashon is it's a talis shabola, talis that wore out.
So
Lashon
of using up the...
Hanoa Shalkili, Hanoa could well be that this is why there's a distinction between a Jewish body and a non-Jewish body as far as Kura is concerned. Why the Mitzvah Kura only applies to a Jew who died, not to a Kura who died? Because the Jew who died, he went in Shabbos, and that's to say. But Ha'im Ra'alameis B'Shat Yitzir B'Shem Ha'ayim Kura Ha'lamazadam, it said Teresh and Yisrael. I would like to say Teresh and Yisrael. So Rechid used to say because the Malach taught the baby Kura Ha'ayim Kura before he was born. And even after the baby is born and he doesn't remember a word, so it's like Shivei Luchas. But Shivei Luchas, the din is that Shivei Luchas have Geniza, it's a Tashmish Kedusha. So the body of a Jewish person has the status of a Tashmish Kedusha because that's what they all have in common. The third Sunu Mezuzah all have in common that they have Dibrei Teilan. That's the definition of Tashmish Kedusha. So the Jewish body also had Dibrei Teilan before the baby was born. After the person was born, they learned Teilan. Even though after he died, there's nothing left. So it has the status of Shivei Luchas. Mashiach came by the Nochrim, true, their bodies were used, but you have fine Nochrim, they were doing mitzvahs during their lifetime, they were putting their shed in the internet. So their bodies during their lifetime have to be respected. It's a nice guy, he's a Tashmishay Mitzvah. But after this Mana Mitzvah is up, after he dies, I'm Asim Chavshin, then there's no longer any status of Kedusha. That's like all other Tashmishay Mitzvahs, but after this Mana Mitzvah is up, so it's up, welcome back. The Yiddish Tashmish Kedusha? Yep. The Yiddish Tashmish Kedusha, because the definition of Tashmish Kedusha is Divrei Torah. That's what the Gemara says, all the Mazar Dem, and it says the Torah and Yisrael. Every person is considered like he said the Torah and Yisrael. Even if he never learned the word of Torah during his lifetime, he really did before he was born, the Malach Torah. I forgot everything that he learned. So it's like the Torah Shebola. It's like the Shivei Luchas, that all the Ksav was removed. So you're left with the Shivei Luchas, and it still had the status of of the Tashmish Kedusha, that it has to be an acknowledgement. At the end of Kisisa, we have a difficult pasuk. The way the Gemara interprets Samachas Advan Ha'eleki Alpi Advan Ha'eleki Rati Chabris Vetz Yisrael. The Gemara says in Gittin Dav Samach that the Kisis Bris was only made, the Ikki Kisis Bris was made on the Torah Shmalpet. Alpi Advan Ha'eleki, Alpi means Torah Shmalpet, Rati Chabris Vetz Yisrael. So how do you read Samachas Advan Ha'eleki? It must have refers to Torah Shebichtav. Ram Shebichtav, Yatav HaShol, Yamin Alpeh. What do you mean they should write the Torah Shebichtav? Because he Alpi had one way, because Karati Kedusha is his own. So the, it's very difficult how to read the puzzle. Perhaps, maybe tell it up all the back. So perhaps you could say Pshat Ki, that Zinesh says that sometimes word Ki has the meaning of Apopi. Notwithstanding the fact that right down the Torah Shebichtav, even though the Ikki Kisis Bris is really going to be on the Torah Shebichtav, not on the Torah Shebichtav. Maybe that's what it means. But so the Chasam Sofer has a different shot. The Chidush of Chasam Sofer, he quotes the Tesis in Gittin and Dav Samach, the Tesis quotes the Medrash and the Pasuk in Hosea. The Mordeh in Gittin quotes the Pasuk. If I would have written everything down, their stuff, there wouldn't have been any Persian Marteh, then the Jewish people would have been like outsiders. Why would they be like outsiders, like strangers? The Tosfos says, because whatever we have in Persian Marteh, the Christians have appropriated, and they say that they are the real Jews and they have the Torah. They have the Bible, and they have more than the Bible. They have two Bibles, they have a bigger Bible than we have. They have the whole Torah, but the Persian Marteh they don't have. So that's what the Tosfos says in Novi. If I would have written everything down, then the Jews would have been in Gunston up the creek. We would have been bankrupt. The Christians would say they're the real Jews, and we have nothing. But because we still have the Torah Shabbat that they don't have, so that's when we have something that's unique. So he suggests that that's the Pshat Karavi the Pasuk, according to the Gemara's interpretation. That you have a miyutik, sablokar sadvarim ha'ele, only write down what I give you the Torah Shabbat Sab, because based on the Torah Shabbat Pekar, I think Chavir Sres Yisrael. It's a new subluchas that one writer only Ram Shabikta do you write. Ram Shabalta you're not allowed to write because the increases this. The unique status of the Jewish people will be based on the Torah Shabalta. So therefore I ask you not to write down more than the Torah Shabikta. Only write down the Tanakh and that's all. No more.
So the first Ayla is the second Ayla is what's not written.
Yes, that's how the Gemara understands. He's referring to different Aylas. The only problem is how do you read Kim? But the Chassam Sofer says, he means because, it doesn't mean notwithstanding the fact that. But he says, Tavachos Abram Ha'edah is a miyut, only write down Torah Shabbat because I want you to have a special unique status. If you're going to write everything down, so the Christian, the Messiah will appropriate everything, and they'll say that they're the real Jews. So you won't have anything to prove that you have something special. Because I want to make the Christian Jews based on Torah Shabbat, so don't write it down, only write down the Torah Shabbat. Okay, so we'll meet tomorrow, I'll try to say in one more. Come back to normal things. Not be normal for too long.
Anybody come to the wedding today?
No.
Bar Simon.